This week's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games. If you like paper cards, that's the place to get them. If you don't, try MTGO Academy for all your digital needs.
No. Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, you dirty little butt fuckers? I'm Heavy Metal.
And I'm Matty Studios.
You're listening to Heavy Meta, bitches.
Woo! We got a fucking guest tonight. It's weird. We don't normally have guests on this show. But just tonight we decided to treat you motherfuckers. And we got one of my favorite people in the fucking magic community just because he's so goddamn sexy. It's not Kibler. But we have the one and only Mr. Scotty Mack with us tonight.
Oh, how's it going, boys?
How's it going, sir?
Extra Canadian on our cast.
Yeah. We're two parts Canadian, one part American, or as some people call it, a Jack and Maple shot.
Nice.
So
since we lost Ferret, like, I'm really starting to feel the sting here. Like, we don't have, us Americans don't have control of this fucking cast.
No, it's anymore. A Canadian content show now. Yeah. CBC is taking over.
Our show started as 50-50. And and then it's just very quickly we just keep kicking him out.
Hey, like Scotty says, you go with the talent. If the funny guys are Canadian, I'm kidding. We have a worldwide audience. We can't show our Canadian.
And they all tune in for the Canadian stupidity. Like, know your audience. This is fine. This is totally okay.
Are you sure it's the Canadian stupidity? Because there is a lot of stupidity that goes around.
You know what? To be fair. Like, I met a lot of the SVU when I was out in Montreal. And, I mean, like, there are few people that party as hard as the SVU.
No. Actually, yeah, I'll be honest. I don't – oh, man, I've partied hard, and I'm, like, getting up in the tooth here. But I don't really try to party as hard. There's people in the SVU that party so hard that they break what the term partying hard is.
Sure.
Like – like, even Scott, like, hey, Schofield just broke. Like, he's broken.
Schofield, yeah.
Like, I honestly don't know if Schofield, I messaged him and said, hey, man, next time we do an event, are you down? And he was like, I'm not down. I'm going to come. I'm going to enjoy myself. I'll play some magic, but I'm not down. And he said, if that guy, what's his name? Mick Jagger? Comes, if he's there, I want nothing to do with it. So
it's so funny. Because there was a conversation on Twitter this week between Real Little Genius, A. Magrini, Squash86, Chaos Orb for the Win, and Omar Hernandez, and Slick Jagger and myself. And we were all talking about GP Boston, which apparently happens over Slick Jagger's birthday weekend.
Oh, no.
Ooh, that's going to get dumb.
So, I don't favorite a lot of tweets, right? Like, I favorite some things here and there. And sometimes I favorite things, like, temporarily if I'm trying to remember them about something. And then, you know, whatever. But, like, there are very few tweets that I favorite for the sake of favoriting them.
Yeah. Just to have them as a recollection.
Yeah. Honestly, that's what it is most of the time. So when Slick Jagger tweets, seriously, Scott and I are leaving bodies in the street. I had to favorite that.
Hey, I am just praying to the God, the good Lord, whatever one you want to believe in. I hope it's not either Scott or Slick, because that man parties and streams harder than.
And he does not give a fuck either. He's like got, you know, he was talking about, he's like, oh yeah, my GP schedule's all filled up for the year because I got this one, I got that one. So he had, you know, he was up there with you guys up north, and then he's got fucking Boston still that he's doing over his birthday. And then him and Marcel and I and a few other people are getting a house in Portland in fucking August. And you know, he's going to get retarded then too. And so like this guy just works all week, like works his ass off, makes good money so that he can just break himself every fucking few months at a fucking GP with the SVU. So proud of him. Did you see in the fucking, the GP Philly, the fucking unicorn pinata full of liquor bottles that they had?
That's
fucking genius.
Hey, I this is an early shout out and I don't usually give a lot of them, but Slick Jagger. No. Slick Jagger tweeted a picture of three mini Kraken bottles in a Ziploc bag that he says, this is how I got through my flight. Kraken retweeted him.
Are you serious?
Yes. Kraken retweeted him and said, well done, sir. So the fact that he's the first of all of us to get retweeted by the fucking mother of all drinks. I mean, I gotta give props to that. That's stupid good. So
I have yet to see
Scotty get retweeted by Innocent Gun.
That's false. That is false, sir. Wait, you have? Take that back.
Oh shit, I didn't know.
Take that back.
Sorry, I didn't know Innocent Gun has retweeted you yet.
Yes, they have.
Okay.
He also converted Jeff Woods over to Kraken too. He tried Kraken for the other night the first time. He's like, I usually am a Sailor Jerry guy, but you know, you guys got me, you know, pick up a bottle of Kraken and like fucking 2 hours later he's all, this shit is the shit. You were kidding. This is fucking awesome. And so yeah, and I think he said something about once you get tentacled, you never go back. So we got him converted over too.
So just for all the people that were in Montreal, that know what heavy meta was here means, for those of you know that you know, I've also started now to keep a random set of five or six common Magic cards in my back pocket. Whenever I'm in a liquor store, I go to where the Kraken is and I just place a common or two in the, you know, I just put them in the bottles or at the side or I put them around. And I know one day someone's going to be like, are you shitting me? Are you fucking shitting me?
Yes!
They're going to pick one up and they're going to be like, what the fuck is that Magic card doing there? And I know.
Wait till somebody comes up to you at a GP and has you sign one of your fucking heavy metal was here, fucking random Magic commons that he found in a grocery store.
Yeah, one of my friends said, he goes, you can't just put anyone. He goes, you should pick a common, buy 1,000 of them, and then everyone would know when they find it. And I mean, I've yet to find the common, I don't know, that suits.
There's gotta be a
Kraken. I figured there's a Kraken that is the best, but we'll find that later. So before we
Or you just go buy a butt ton of those fucking RK Post Kraken tokens.
Yeah, well, there you go. Shit. Actually, that's right. What am I fucking talking about? Oh, my God. Okay. Jason Ault, Marcel, someone hook me up, man. I will buy I'll buy 100 right now. Because those things are fucking amazing. Actually, those should just be my card. I should just sign those and give those. Those are awesome.
I'm telling you.
So what I actually really think is amazing is that you know that if you're leaving Magic cards near Kraken, that anyone in Toronto that picks it up, they know it's you. Like, regardless. Like, who the fuck else in Toronto is leaving Magic cards next to Kraken bottles? Oh, my God.
Do you know, okay, hey, Scott, I don't know about you, but do you know how many people drink fucking Kraken in Toronto? There's a big Magic Kraken community growing.
But if Bruce Lee... Heavy Meta was here, and it's left next to the Kraken. And especially now that you've announced to the world that you're doing it.
Yeah.
That's true. I've kind of ruined the mystery.
You have the power to edit that out if you want to.
Fuck it. It's too much work. But here we go. So I'm going to start it off real quick by saying, Scotty, we had a conversation over our pre-release about this heavy meta extravaganza or whatever we choose to do as an event. And Scotty had a unique point that a lot of people brought up to me, and I know Kevy and a couple of us have another point of view. And I just
Riverboat
wanted, you know,
gambling.
River. Hey, as awesome as that sounds in a fictional Magic Christmas Land universe,
it's not fictional. There's a Mississippi River and there's fucking casinos that float down the river. We could all wear Mark Twain fucking garb and get on the fucking boat, get wrecked, and play Magic.
Okay, Scotty, when you ask me where do you come up with these ideas, this is what I'm dealing with. I don't talk to reality here. I talk to the abstract. So the reality is, like, we want to do an event. Actually, an event will happen. But Scotty had a unique point of view, and I wanted him to just bring it up because I think a lot of his claims are legit, and we have to consider this, and we have time, and we should. And I just wanted Scotty to.
And we also know that Scotty is good at fucking throwing parties.
Oh, we're asking the expert.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I may not be the expert anymore, but I may have done it first. I may have done it right the first time.
Yeah. See, well, there you go.
Fuck so it. It's fine. So it's fine. I may not have been able to repeat that first time yet. Not quite, but I'm working on it.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. So I think that from a location standpoint, you really need to consider, sort of central to northeast of the United States. And so, right. Like, the Cincinnati area-ish, you know, typically what we find is, and I mean, the same thing, like, Gen Con is in Cincinnati every year for a reason. Like, Gen Con is in Ohio because it draws infinite, right?
Right.
And you've got this absurd player base that lives in sort of, like, you can go all the way over from, like, Milwaukee, spanning all the way, you know, towards
it's the center,
east.
Right? So
it's like it the center. Sense. It's the center of the United States Magic population that are playing. Like, you've got a mm-hmm. heavy concentration that's in Vegas, like the California area. You've got a reasonable concentration as well in the Florida area. Anyone that's sort of in the middle of there, I'm not intentionally.
He's calling you garbage.
But my point is that, like,
it's not dense.
If you look, yeah, and especially it's not dense with Magic players. Like, New York City, New Jersey, D.C., yeah. Like, all of those places are crazy full of people.
Right, right.
And historically, the best GPs have come from those areas, right? So, I mean, like, that's not by accident.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that if you want to ensure the highest volume of people that are going to come to this event, then you should consider that as a geography.
That's very true. I've kind of been on the Vegas boat the whole time. One, because it's close to me. Two, because it's Vegas.
Yeah.
And you know, fucking the Modern Masters, fucking Vegas GP was insane. But we're also talking about we're trying to draw people off of, you know, our fans and our friends and shit like that. You know, we're although Vegas is a great location because it's cheap to fly from everywhere and it's Vegas, so you can always kind of plan around like other shit to do too and make a vacation out of it.
Exactly.
Also, same like I like Vegas for that, but at the same time, we're not gonna draw the amount of people, you know, to come play Booze Cube with us as Modern Masters, you know, GP, you know.
No, but remember, so Kevy, like this is the misconception, and I wanted to clarify, we're not making a Booze Cube event. We're making the ultimate Magic event. And we're in talks with people that can put on a serious show. Like, we're talking maybe, like, we mimic the Pro Tour format. So it's limited cube standard. Like, we'll do something amazing. It's not going to just be Booze Cube. So a lot of people are like, oh, it's just going to be a booze fest in a house. No, we're really trying to do something that's 150 person real event. But we're all adults. And there will be awesome side events, and it'll be awesome. So it's a bit of everything. But in most, we're just trying to make the most amazing community event that is really about the best formats of Magic. So, like,
which is why I'm still on the gambler fucking trip. But I see where you're coming from.
So I think the best way for us to do this is not actually book a convention center.
Right.
Is to actually just book a hotel.
Fuck, I thought you were going to say
100% agreed.
And what we'll do is we will rent out the conference rooms
yes.
in the hotel. Like, the best way, like, think about the Primrose, right? So, like, yep. Like Maddie knows what's up, right? And those of you yep. that live sort of in the Toronto or Ontario area know that the Best Western Primrose has some of the most amazing spaces for playing tournaments. Some of the most amazing Magic tournaments I've ever played in Ontario were from that place, right?
Huh.
And it's a fucking huge hotel. So
now, not knowing anything about it, like what makes it that experience?
The rooms are enormous. Like, they're just enormous. The chairs are good. The tables are fine. Like
oh, okay,
all
right.
That stuff's already there. But it's sick because you can just like go to this event, and if you want to just stay the night, you can. So what's wicked
right.
is that we can rent out
flexibility
the room to ourselves.
Yeah.
Run our own tournament, and this is why. See, secretly, I figured out why all of you in the SVU are trying to become judges. I figured it out.
He knows what we're trying to do.
It out. And it's because if you go to a regular Magic tournament, yeah. hammered off your fucking ass, there is no way they're going to let you play cards. It's not happening.
Not if you got a bunch of SVU judges running this
if
thing.
You, exactly. So if SVU is running the tournament, they don't care as long as you're not vomiting on the table.
Like, if you're wearing the rule is, if you're wearing the black judge shirt and you have the little Kraken squid insignia on your armband, you know what's up.
You just have to, if you register with your fucking SVU DCI card, which we'll get into, then you'll just get a little button that says basically
room two. Room two. You go to room two.
Remember our fucking pins that they gave us in Vegas that I forgot and left in my other pants. But those were like the check me out, I'm awesome fucking pins. I get bottle service and fucking you check in with your fucking SVPCI card and you get fucking, you get a little pin that's just got a big middle finger on it just to tell everybody to fuck off. I like it.
But anyways, I think that's the way to do it. And like, you can rent a big enough conference center or whatever. It's going to be cheaper. Plus, depending on how many people show up, they might actually give you like a huge break, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You could do like the whole, like, you know, get a block of rooms reserved kind of thing.
And if we get enough of them, then maybe they'll just let us have some floors if we book it long enough in advance. Like, these are things that could easily be planned. And I mean, if you're in that area, 95% of the people from like Canada could fucking drive there.
Right.
It could be. I just look at it this way. Like, I had a unique conversation over the weekend with people, and why, like, we broke down all the top places that we've been to and why they were success. And here's, I mean, this is just honesty. It's not even my opinion. It's facts. Montreal and Vegas were success for two reasons, and they don't even involve the magic part of it. Vegas is a success because it's Vegas. So even if I scrub out, I have a shitty night, I'm not stuck in a house somewhere where there's nothing to do but drink, I can go on the strip, I can go to a fine restaurant. And Montreal was the same because everything was around, you're downtown, and the food, the poutine, the smoked meat, right, all that, and of course, the people.
There's stuff to do other than, because, you know, everybody isn't going to be focused on the event. Or, you know, if you draw, if you scrub out and, like, you know, any other random city USA or Canada, you know, if you scrub out and you're kind of done with the tournament, or you're just maybe not there to be completely focused on the GP, you're doing it more like what we're doing anyway, where it's more about getting to fucking hang out with the buddies, hanging out with the fucking SVU and shit like that. The thing you have to look at is exactly that, something to do, because you can get a bunch of people together and play Magic, or you can get a bunch of people together and be like, oh man, we've been playing Magic all fucking weekend, let's go do something fun together.
Yeah, they might want to just do
something. So, when there's no draw, it's like, well, there's a liquor store there, there's some law office buildings there.
Law office buildings.
There's not a whole lot for us to do other than either sit in our hotel room and get fucked up, or go to the fucking event, or go to a, like, random bar. So yeah, like, finding a location, I'm not saying just Vegas, but like, that's one of the reasons Vegas, I think, was real big and successful, is because of everything else that you can do there and the options that you have. Like, we need it to be in a place similar to that where, and you know, fuck, maybe in talking about, like, in joining those ideas, because, you know, Scotty, you have a valid point, like, the East Coast is much more, and not even just the East Coast, but the eastern side of the United States is way more concentrated with Magic players than this half, or this two-thirds of the nation. But, you know, then maybe fucking we'll get, like, Atlantic City or something like that, just do the fucking East Coast Vegas. And maybe that way there's more shit to do, yet it's still close enough that a lot of people can get to it.
Yeah, totally reasonable.
We'll figure it out. So let's talk quickly about what do you think, Scotty? I mean, I know you've got your own show on Mana Deprived. Apparently, it's the number two show on Mana Deprived because, you know, we all fall very short of, you know, top eight Magic. They outproduce us all. Hey, Flores is who he is. I'm just saying. So that being said, there is, or there was, an awesome pre-release, and I just wanted to get your feedback. Like, obviously, we played at Legend Games. For those of you who don't know, me and Scotty were at the same tournament.
Yeah. Legends Warehouse.
Get it. Sorry, Legends Warehouse. Sorry, bros.
Get it right.
Well, if you're gonna plug something, don't fucking plug it sideways. Plug the hell.
I already got yelled at by fucking Awesome Everyday. tell fucking Anthony, because I call him Awesome Sauce all the time. I'm like, check out Awesome Sauce on Twitter. So you know what? Just fuck it. Awesome Sauce is a way better name than Awesome Every Day. And you change your fucking Twitter handle for my mistakes, goddammit. That's the way I roll.
You gotta cater to the talent, eh, Maddie?
That's right. Hey, I'll just have a vote. Hey, you know what? In the comments, you tell me what's a better name. Awesome Every Day or Awesome Sauce? He's a chef. Awesome Sauce wins. Yes. I'm sorry. My vote, Awesome Sauce. You change your goddamn fucking Twitter. Now, anyways, so we're going to talk quickly about Journey. I thought personally that, you know, I played in Theros, played in Born, played in Journey. This is probably my favorite. Theros was okay. Born was really shitty. This was fun as shit. I found the deck that I got to build had a lot of options. I could have built 2-3 decks out of it, but I really liked how I built my deck. Went black-white, kind of heroic, but with some a lot of really janky removal that was basically just enchantments that stopped you from blocking, but I found it was enough to get through. I kind of really liked it. I faced a lot of really interesting decks, too. And the one thing I noticed is, I know everyone was saying white was the deck everyone was playing, but at this pre-release, a lot of people went red, and I faced a lot of very quick red decks, so it was very interesting. I did find that of the cards I drafted, the Coinsmith was insane. The card was awesome, and no word of a lie, that black removal spell, would it silence the believers, is a fucking blowout.
Yeah.
That card was, I won at least the game, like just crushed. He was like, are you shitting me? I'm like, no, it's over, man. kill, dead, I attack human. But what did you think, Scotty? Did you like the deck you put together?
I mean, come on, did I like the deck I put together?
The deck was pretty crazy. The deck was crazy.
I had a good time. I went blue. I like audible to blue. And I decided that all of the decks that I liked were slow and grindy, but they all also had blue in it. So once they spoiled Hubris, I had to play blue. Because I'm like, oh, sweet, a card that gains all the tempo. I'll just play that card. But yeah, it was sweet. My deck was slow and dirtily. I opened up some pretty sick. My blue is insane. I opened up some good green, and I opened up some very good white. And so I had sort of some of the makings of a white deck, and all of these details about my deck and pre-release are all on Legit MTG on my article this week. So you guys can go back and check that out. And I've got all the different cards in my what I ended up playing and shit. But suffice to say, I could have made a blue-white deck that would have been pretty good. I had the Sky Knight, and I had the Akron Sky Guard. I had the 2/2 flyer guy with heroic. I had some pretty sweet white cards, but I ended up realizing that my blue cards wanted to go long.
You just like to draw cards, admit it.
That's
what you do.
I could
draw a lot of cards.
Play my double font of fortunes in my blue white deck, but I could play it in the blue green one. So yeah, it was pretty sweet. I ended up going X and one. My only loss, of course, was to Maddie.
Yeah.
That
was probably the best game of Magic. That was a good back and forth.
So it was nice, right?
Because that was a good game.
So we went to three. The first game, he just demolished.
Crushed you.
Second game, I crushed him. And then third game was a really, really good game. I had both of my starfishes going, and I'm trying to dig for answers. And I realized that I just can't block because I'm going to get blown out, because I knew very early it became apparent that he
Strive.
Had
it. You were waiting for Johnny's presence. He's like, you have it. I'm like,
and
I don't
know. I just can't. Of course you had it. You're playing exactly like you have it. So I'm well, I'll just wait. And
Scry. Hold on. Scry one more turn. Scry. I'm going to scry.
And so I dug to enough lands. I was short on lands, but I got to enough lands finally that I could play a Scourge of Fleets and Vance's team. But by that time,
Coinsmith.
He had enough mana. That he just I bounce his team and he just replays the Coinsmith, drain you for three, kill you. I'm like, yep, you got it.
Oh,
yeah.
It was good. But Coinsmith put in some serious work. My fourth round opponent was the same thing. He had a Coinsmith and he also had the Scholar of Atheros, which is the black
guy. Yeah, I have that one too, right? Or no, it was the white one.
The white guy that drains. It's the 1/4, right? But like between both of those cards, it was like that's how my opponents were grinding, and it was just it was really hard. But
just grinding out that life. It's like those fucking extort decks in the fucking goddamn it, what fucking set did that?
Gatecrash, right.
Oh my god, dude, those were fucking nuts, dude. It was just like, are you serious? You're gonna sit there and because I remember seeing that mechanic and going like, eh, I mean that's eh. But, like, so many people were just grinding out games like that. It was ridiculous. It was just, like, that's what was winning shit.
Yeah.
I have to say, though,
like, at the pre-release was
the,
that.
The best,
I was like, Jesus!
Yeah, the best play, though, at the entire pre-release, even though I had some cool, like, blowouts, drive things, I finished early and I watched Scotty play his last round. And I watched Scotty go, okay, oh, it's the Tessin tactics, right?
No. So he... No, oh, no, not, no, it's the green draw, like the green overrun card. Hold on.
Okay.
I'll tell you what it is. It's right here. Right. It's Hunter's Prowess.
Hunter's Prowess, that's it. So I watch Scotty sit there, and I'm like, man, Scotty's going to fucking lose. I can't believe this. And he's like, oh, okay, attack you for seven, Hunter's Prowess. And he's and the opponent's like, oh, my God, you're going to draw seven cards. And Scotty says, it's going to probably be all lands. He draws seven cards, six lands. I literally just am like, are you shitting me? Is that every land in your deck? Now, what's hilarious is he shows the guy six lands. He's like, this sucks. His next draw step is a forest. He still managed to win. You won that game, right?
Of course I won.
Yeah, that was – he was a master. Like, I think Scotty – if you give Scotty the power to just draw cards, he just fucking wins. The man is a master at that shit. But...
So let me tell you. So Riptide Chimera, as I said on the show last week on the A-Team, perfectly fair and balanced magic card. No.
That card is hardcore.
3/4 flyer for 3 mana. At the beginning of my upkeep, return an enchantment I control to my owner's to its owner's hand. Let me tell you how absurd that fucking card was. In that same round four opponent, really grindy. He's got me all locked up with like an Akron Mastiff to tap down my shit. And he's got a Guardians of Miletus with those Fleet Feather sandals or whatever on it. So it's just like this fucking huge 06 flyer. I can't really get in. I've got Chimera on the table, and I'm like bouncing Oakheart Dryads. I've got a Vaporkin as well. Like I'm literally stonewalled. He plays his big white flyer guy, the 2/4, the promo guy, and I cast Pin to the Earth on it.
Pin to the Earth, yep.
Yeah, so like that's what I'm using to bounce every turn, just to kind of like pump my guy up a little. But I'm literally not doing anything because I can't attack due to the tapper and the big blocker and what else. So finally, I'm like, how the fuck am I going to win? And so I draw the Crystalline Nautilus, which is one of the blue uncommon where it's like. You can put it on your
phantasmal image kind of thing, right?
It adds a phantasmal image clause. And I'm like, okay, how am I gonna do this? Like it's a 4/4, and I'm like, oh wait, maybe I can start removing his guys.
I'm like, so brilliant.
I'll bounce the pin to the earth to my hand, and then I'll play the Crystalline Nautilus, I'll bestow it onto an opponent, and then I'll play the pin to the earth on that guy, killing it. So sure I'll lose my pin to the earth, but at least then I get my Nautilus back and whatever, right? And I'm like, oh, I don't quite have enough mana. Oh, this is really awkward. What am I gonna do? How am I gonna do this? What creature am I gonna kill? Oh. And then it dawns on me. I have the Oakheart Dryads on the table. So they're at the 2/3 constellation for green and two. And whenever another enchantment enters the battlefield under my control, it says target creature gets +1/+1 in turn. I'm like, oh really? All right. Well, then I'll repin your flyer. I'll bestow this Nautilus, put the trigger on the stack from the Oakheart Dryads, kill your tapper, and oh, it comes back to my side of the table as a 4/4. Excellent. Oh, I'll return it to my hand with a Riptide Chimera during my upkeep and continue to demolish your
and just
entire
destroy purpose. Your board.
Oh my god.
So good.
Yeah. I honestly really want to try drafting because I think there's a lot of really interesting, fun. Kind of like fringe decks like that you can build out of journeys. So yeah, I loved it. I was really, really fun. I quite enjoyed it. I ripped a Karanos and a Gold King out of my prize packs, which
so good.
I mean, it's cool. I'm going to throw it in the cube. I think they're fun cards playing cube, but overall I was kind of disappointed. That was basically it. The rest was just
I was bummed.
Garbage.
I didn't get to fucking, I didn't get to play my fucking event. I haven't played a fucking pre-release in like the last like, oh, actually, no, I played Theros. So, yeah, I just missed the last two.
Man.
Like, I missed Boiling Gods on purpose. I didn't give a fuck about that one. This one I actually really wanted to play in, but as luck would have it, like, you know, as it got closer to the date, I still hadn't signed up for it.
Because we only have one at our LGS. We don't, like, have the, like, multiples all over the place.
or, you know, like a midnight one and a fucking morning one and an afternoon one and all that shit. It's just one. And I was, maybe I'll go. And then I got suckered into doing a bunch of fucking, like, wedding errands and stuff. So, but I was able to stop by and go in and say hi to everybody and fucking check things out. Old Raging Gumby David was there fucking tearing shit up as always. But it was nice. Got to go in, fucking started telling David about how I'm like trying to learn how to become a judge, and fucking some dude comes up. Exactly the thing that I was talking about. The reason I want to be a judge is because some dude comes up because David's in between rounds and he's like, "Hey, David, how does this work with the strive mechanic and this and that?" So me and David start trying to figure it out. Like, it's, they were wondering if, because of the way it was worded, like if you could target the same creature over and over with strive. Because it, which it was exactly what I thought, but like David's, you know, David was like, "I don't know. There's not really anything that says that you can't, because it said, it doesn't say you can't target the same creature over and over. It just says after the first target." And I was just like, yeah, to me, that reads like, no, you can't, but eh, whatever. And, so my first fucking pseudo fucking judge call, I left halfway through anyway. So
his first judge call, I was like, I don't know how to fucking deal with this.
I was just like, yeah, I've learned to become a judge, David. Some dude comes up with a rules question. I'm just like, yeah, I think that doesn't work. And he's like, I think it does. And he goes over to start talking to the dude and figure shit out. And I'm all, all right, man, well, I got to take off. I'll see you later. And that was my pre-release experience.
Oh, my goodness. So, I want to spring something on my two cohorts tonight. I have been working tirelessly with the SVU to come up with a new segment for our show. And I've been thinking about how we can get ways to involve.
Stop taking my fucking pants off, Maddie, even if this is just audio.
You still have pants on?
Yeah. Hey, the cave has a hook for pants when you walk in.
Walk in the door, the pants come off. Like, you wear pants in your house?
No. Who wears pants in their fucking house?
Isn't it like fucking hot over there where you live, too? Shit.
Yeah. I'm wearing basketball shorts. Is that close enough?
All right.
So
only if your nuts are hanging out. Then it's all right.
All right. So here's the thing. So I've come up with a way that I can involve the SVU on rotating ways to interact with the show. And I'd like to introduce to you, and I want to debut to everyone, the first segment, SVU-produced segment for Heavy Meta.
Ooh.
Martin?
Hello.
Shit.
Maybe I should come. Oh, Gabby!
What's up,
dude? Bonsoir, hey, man. Comment ça va?
Hey, salut, Scott. Ça va bien, mon joli poussin?
Now, hold on. I didn't say anything about this being dual language shit. You have to speak English.
Oh, sorry.
In Spanish, I don't understand.
You'll get money from the government if you're bilingual. They like it.
That's right.
You know that.
So tonight, folks, we have a new segment. I don't know what Martin has come up with actually calling it, but I believe shit-talking with Martin is probably going to be the best one. Or shit-stirring with Martin.
Yeah, it's called shit-talking with Martin, and I even got a little jingle. Hold on. Everybody, let's stir some shit.
That's pretty fucking good.
All right, even if this segment sucks both my nuts at the same time, that was awesome.
That was awesome.
You just opened the floor for shit talking. That's great. I don't know if you guys can see my picture. You see, like, it's like my Twitter picture, right? It's like my both eyes peeking up. It's like I'm peeking up and watching you masturbate.
It actually is disturbing because when you talk, it flashes, and it almost looks like you're, like, trying to, like, get a little closer look at me, and it's really disturbing. But the rules, I will preface this with this. The rules of these segments are they're rapid fire, they're quick, and they're humorous.
Oh, exactly. That's great. Maddie's been trying to get something rapid fire, quick, and humorous on this cast since episode one, and it hasn't happened yet. Because every time Maddie says rapid fire, my brain goes, let's see how much we can slow this down.
No, I'll try to keep it quick. I have a little game for you guys.
Well, it'll be different if it's Martin, because it's not Maddie saying it.
Yeah. All right, Martin, hit us.
I have to speak slower, though. I just have a little preamble, though. Okay. Scotty, did you enjoy your birthday this weekend?
Yeah, I had a great time.
Awesome.
I ended up drinking too many beers.
Oh,
that's what you have to do.
And I slept not nearly enough. But I had a great time. Yeah, it was good.
I saw on Twitter that Maddie beat you in the pre-release, right?
Yeah, we faced off at round three, and we went to three games, and ultimately his grindy little coinsmith got there.
His dirty awesome. Little coinsmith.
I just want to ask you, how does it feel to get beaten by a guy who dresses in his pajamas?
I fucking love this segment already.
I'm going to tell you, I've played a lot of Magic against a lot of people who were wearing clothes that were worse than pajamas.
Okay.
I have yet to have my picture taken with the man who praised Askrax.
That's true.
It's going to happen.
Scotty's got a lot of bad luck with playing fucking heavy meta hosts because fucking Scotty seems to lose to the worst Magic players on the planet because I keep beating him and Maddie keeps beating him. Like, Scott's a good Magic player, and I don't know why this keeps happening to him.
We have yet to see the good players, the bad players to beat. I just want to just do another shit talk. Habs are starting to play against the Bruins tomorrow. T-Moles, John Celso out there, Bruins fan.
Hell yeah.
I mean, they're delusional. They're delusional just like the Boston Bruins. They're delusional because they think it's the Summer Olympic. It's a divers competition. It's a hockey game.
Direct, please, this is an announcement. Direct all hate mail to martin@brunette@montreal.com.
This is a heavy meta segment. Fucking direct all hate mail to Maddie Studios.
Yeah, corporate mail, bitches.
Complaints at heavymeta.fu.ck.
Fuck my shit.ass.
All right, Martin.
Okay, let's go with the game. The game is called Ban or Unban. We don't know if it's going to go. It might turn bad. You know, like Kevy playing a blue deck, right?
Yes. Goes terrible. So,
yeah, probably terrible. But anyway, ban or unban. Basically, I'm going to shoot out an element of Magic the Gathering or in life in general that is considered like polarizing. You guys have to either say ban or unban. Okay. And after, we'll just do a little roundtable quickly to just explain to yourself and debate, actually. I just want to say it's no holds barred. Personal attacks are allowed, are even welcomed and encouraged.
And actually encouraged.
Exactly. So I just want you guys to, you know, don't be shy and just you can say a bunch of bad stuff to the other guys. Probably at the end of this segment, everybody will have a small penis according to their adversary.
That's what it's gonna boil down to. It doesn't matter what the topic is, it's all gonna be about dick size when we get done with this.
Alright, are we all straight on the rules? I think we got this. Alright, Martin, we're ready. Question one.
Okay, question one. Ban or unban? Double queuing.
Ban. Because ban, I can't do it.
I mean, I don't know if you want us to interrupt now, but I say ban because I can't stand playing against guys that are slow.
And I don't even double queue.
I played once against Kevin, that was it.
Yeah. Okay, so like I'm all for banning on purpose. But if shit happens sometimes and you get caught, like if you enter into an event and you just decide like an 8-man or whatever and you're waiting for it to fire or a daily or what shit, and then you enter into a 2-man to try to kill time, and then your 2-man opponent is slower than fuck like Kevy, and you get dragged into it because you can't fucking kill the guy before your 8-man starts, then I support it. But you need to be like respectful of your opponent and not be a fucking drooling asshole. So So I'm okay.
All right.
I'm okay.
So slightly ban, I guess.
Yeah.
Slightly ban.
Yeah, I don't mean to straddle, but like there are situations where it's okay, but otherwise fucking
it's like ban on intent. Like you don't just go out and fucking brick.
I like that. Banning with intent. I'll ban for intent. Yeah, I like that. My God, Kevin, you're gonna be a great judge after all.
Okay. Fuck off, guys. There's two categories.
All right.
All right. Ban or unban lands in front.
Ban.
Oh, fucking ban. Hard ban. Hard. Okay, not only hard ban, but if you can't play to the fucking standard of lands in the back, creatures in the front, go play fucking Kajudo. I'm sick of that shit. I personally cannot. If you put your lands in front of your shit, I'll just sweep that shit off. Just get the fuck out of there, because that's not Magic. That's some other backward game. That's bullshit.
When I'm a judge, if I see somebody playing like... But I'd be like, how did you get all these creatures on the board? You don't have any mana. Yeah. What are you doing? Like, just get up and leave. No, those lands are just on the table. Those stay here.
They're creatures.
Okay, so can we get like extra super like bandwidth prejudice for the people that like Adrian Sullivan that do it upside down?
Yeah, you can go. Yeah, like there's not only
no, that's bandwidth arrogance.
Yeah, there's bandwidth intent, and then there's bandwidth prejudice.
Look, hold on. There's guys that like PV that play that way just because they feel they're smarter than you, and then there's Adrian Sullivan who plays that way to say, I think you're a fucking moron, so I'm going to put all my cards upside down because you're so ignorant to this game. I hate that shit. Stop that. You're not doing me a favor.
Really like the oversized cards. Like, if I could put together a deck of oversized cards, I'd play my whole deck upside down so that you could read them and read them real big just to be an arrogant prick.
They have to wear, like, bad glasses or something.
Next one.
It's going pretty swiftly. All right. Ban or unban? The winner saying GG in the chat.
I don't agree with people using the fucking... the quick little fucking, either like the little right click and put your fucking, you know, come on top deck or whatever the fuck that shit is, and like the stupid smiley face and sad face, like the freeloaded stock fucking, that shit pisses me off so bad it's not even funny. And I've stated that before, and people like get, people do it to me on purpose because I've stated how much I fucking hate that. Like, if you're gonna type anything into the fucking chat, at least type something. Otherwise, just fucking leave the game. I don't give a shit. Like, you know what? Like, fucking sweet, I won. Like, I'm going back to my other fucking game that I'm playing right now. Or fucking, you know, back to the double queuing. Yeah. But, like, if you're gonna, like, say something to me in the chat, make it at least genuine enough that you type four words in. Cause I take that seriously, cause it takes me, like, 3 minutes worth of fucking game time to type four words. So.
Yeah, but see, you should be banned. See, I go back to the first question and I say, it's all time dependent. If you can finish your match in 5 minutes, you can triple queue. But if you are playing one match and you have a minute left on the clock, Worth should put a note in your fucking account that says, you are not allowed to enter another match. A message pops up and says, Kevy, stop. So as soon as Kevy starts to type a message, it should say, do you just want to tell this guy GG? Because there's a shortcut for that.
So no, I'd be better off if it just, like, every time I start to write something, it says, do you mean click OK? Like, hey, you know how Google will finish your sentences for you and shit? As soon as I start to type in the chat, is all, do you mean to click OK instead of typing in here? Because that's always my fucking problem. It's like, I'll start talking or I'll start chatting. And it's like, dude, seriously, just fucking click OK. Click OK. Oh, shit, I'm sorry, I didn't realize. So I'll click OK, and then I'll start talking to Maddie again for like a half an hour. It's asking me to click OK again.
I don't care. I mean, I don't really care. It's one of those things. If I'm having a good match, it's fine. Like, in the tournament practice room, it's more about business than about socializing. So I have many times a match just finishes and no one says anything. I'm not offended by that or anything. But when the people do take the time to be like, hey, is it Maddie from Heavy Metal? Oh, and they start talking to me. And, you know, that's great. That's awesome. And if I have a really good game with someone, I'm the first to put in the chat, like, man, thanks for the great match. This was fun. So
quick side note to the Magic Online team, can we get how my dictate as one of those right click things?
For the beta spotlight, when you cast a dictate, it should have a little pop up message. Do you want to send this text to your opponent?
Yeah, no, and it should be like, you know, in all fairness, it needs to say like comma A, like EH with a question mark at the end to give fucking, you know, you guys fucking credit for it, Scotty.
That'd be good.
Because it just all how my dictate, eh? I think that would be fucking perfect. If we were in charge of Magic Online.
Like when the winner is extending the hand in the GP.
Oh, and now we're going to the real world?
Unban. Yeah.
No,
extending the hand.
Unbanned. I think that, like, regardless, you have to be fucking sportsmanlike.
Yeah,
as odd as it sounds coming out of my mouth. Like, especially in a personal environment like that, like, Moto's a little bit different because it's, you know, half the time it's some nameless fucking troll idiot behind the fucking screen or behind the keyboard. But, like, in face-to-face, like, in any fucking, you know, paper game, you know, I feel like that's, you know, that should be there. Like, you know, you need to be fucking cordial to your fucking opponent, whether you win or lose. I mean, you know, yeah, if your opponent just like blatantly cheated in front of you because the judge was looking the other way, then fucking, you know, kick him in the nuts before he stands.
That's a smack in the face. Yeah.
I think my answer to both of your questions here, like that one in the hand and the moto, is again, it's all intent. So it like
right.
Unban, but don't be a dick.
Yep.
Great.
Right. I get you.
Yeah.
And if you're a scumbag, don't expect shit. Like I have now been scumbagged twice at paper events, and I'm sorry. I even shook the guy's hand, but I was just looking at him like, you're a fucking scumbag.
Dude, getting so, scumbagged in a heavy meta hoodie just shouldn't happen.
Like, I know. Well,
is that a I feel like the guy was hitting his lands?
Yep. The guy that hit his lands was bullshit. Right.
I feel like if you ever get scumbagged in a fight, like wearing an SVU shirt, like there should, like before the dude gets up from the match, there should be like two dudes in SVU shirts and like jihad fucking black hood standing behind him.
Right?
Yeah. We all need flashlights that have like a fucking.
It's like the hoods. The hoods need to have like a siren on top. Right, so that like when it happens, you just put it on nice. While you're sitting at the table, and so everyone can see it. And then,
yes,
and then they just like converge,
or even just have like just some sort of distress signal, just like screen printed on the side of the hood. So you just sit there and play, and then you look around the room at any given time. And there's a big fucking blatant sign across the side. You just put your hood up, and then everybody knows. Oh shit, Maddie needs help. And then like the whole SVU is standing behind the guy on the other side of the table, you know, threatening his life. And then Maddie's all, oh shit, it was just cold in here. Sorry, I didn't mean to fucking set you guys off.
Great. Nice.
Next one. Next one. All right. Yeah. Ban or unban net decking?
Oh man.
Unban.
Okay, you can't. I mean, net. It's again. It's all intent. If
no. It's no. Not, no. It's
oh,
not.
Oh, let's throw some shit.
It's oh, not, yeah. It is.
Play what you want. Fuck you if you can't hack. If you're not good at building decks, but maybe you're a tuner, or maybe you're a good player. You just have no creative instinct. That's fine. It's just like the same sort of thing. It's like saying, well, is a cover band like if a cover band can play fucking amazing, are they still good?
Fuck it. Of course. That's not what I was saying. Yeah.
No, like, but it's the same thing, right?
Okay. So what I was getting at is this. Don't net deck. And say you built the deck then. Okay. Or don't look at a format and be like, well, it's a brand new format and I'm just picking this because it won last week. You can do that. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying like try to advance your own skill and your own net decking ability and say, hey, that's an interesting deck. Maybe I can find a way to improve it. Well, not your net deck, but your deck building ability.
Your deck building ability, right?
Yeah, I'm really good. My net decking ability is great.
I'm so fucking awesome at clicking the button.
I don't know. I say that's almost an unban kind of situation, but
unban but walk straight.
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny because I think the people that are most passionate don't net deck. I think a lot of people that are like trying to just grind cues net deck. And the guys that are like really
you're doing,
we're not even playing
decks, but I'm not good at it. And so, like, you guys have seen the shit I've come up with. And I'm not good at it. So I like brewing decks for like more casual situations, like fucking brewing up decks to play at my fucking kitchen table and shit. But when it comes down to it, like, you know, to be competitive, you know, if I'm fucking, you know, building a modern burn deck, I got a start from a fucking article, like and I started there, and then I started playing it, and I started, of course, tuning it. Like Scotty said, you know, if you're a tuner, you know, my deck is not exactly what a lot of like what the normal fucking modern burn deck is, because I've found things to work better and worse in situations and in my style of play. So of course I've tuned the shit out of it to how I like to do things. You know, I've had help on that too. I mean, what's the difference between net decking as far as being like, all right, I'm going to go on the internet and find out, you know, whatever fucking archetype you're looking for. Like, you know, I'm going to go on the internet and find out like what is the best fucking, you know, artifact deck in modern. Well, that's Finity. But, like, what's the difference between that and being like, oh, hey, all my fucking homies and shit on Twitter, like, I'm thinking about making this fucking artifact deck in modern. What should I put in it? Yeah. Well, you should probably put this. You should probably put that. And then you and your buddies come up. It's the same goddamn thing.
Yeah, here's the thing. Yeah. Like, if you understand, like, if you're playing a pro-level tournament or, like, high-level tournament play, yeah, like, someone's probably tuned a list to a point where your input on it may be negligible. So, yeah, like, net decking something in that case is not wrong. Here's the difference, though. If you play that deck and understand why every card is in the deck for a reason, then you've understood the deck.
Okay, so I'm, like, literally sitting here smacking my face against my desk, listening to you guys fucking argue about something that's really simple. Who the fuck cares? Do what you want.
Yes!
It's real simple!
That's the heavy meta, the low,
the third option.
We do, yeah, just do what we
really
want.
Simple. You right. Do what you want. You play what you want. Who gives a fuck? If you want to judge me, suck my nuts. Move on.
Yeah, you lost. Or I lost.
Hey, you're stirring shit. Well done. Next question.
Yeah, that's great. My voice might be sounding a bit better because actually I just bought the Snowball mic.
Mm.
And it wasn't actually, I was still talking through my webcam. Now I'm talking through the microphone.
Yeah, it's better now. It's less echoey.
It's better. So, you know, why the hell spend $100 and not using it?
Don't pull no fucking TSG on us and speak through your laptop, yeah, like, because that doesn't count, man.
Mouth.
It's not a laptop. He was speaking through a potato. All right. Ban or unban? You know, I just want to say that every element I chose, it's kind of because it annoys me a bit. So, I'm a grumpy old man. Anyway, ban or unban?
Can all of them?
Asian shuffling.
What is
you guys know what Asian shuffling is?
No, what is that?
Oh, is that where you
stack through the other side, you know, like vertically instead of horizontally. I call it Asian shuffling because it's only Asians in my LGS that does that.
It's where you like, pull it from the top.
Shuffling?
Well,
I don't feel it's a good way to shuffle.
Okay, but Asian shuffling is easier on the cards. So if you're playing an expensive deck, you're not wrecking the cards as much?
I still think I'm lost.
Is that why they do it? Okay, so Asian shuffling is when they pull the cards out from the bottom and put them on the top.
No. So Asian shuffling is, so when you shuffle along the long side of the card, right?
Right.
Like,
yes,
imagine you have your deck in your hand, and you've got your deck in your hand. Deck in hand.
Wait a minute, is Asian shuffling some secret thing I don't know what we're really talking about?
If you're Asian, it's hard to have your deck.
So imagine, okay, so this is going to be really simple.
Okay.
Follow along. Imagine you have your deck in your hand, as you normally would, okay? So you've got the long deck in my hand. You've got the height of the card. The longer side is resting against, is sort of like running perpendicular to your fingers.
You're getting me hard right now.
Okay, so we're okay. So that's where it is. Now, when you shuffle, normally you're shuffling on that edge.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
You're mashing the long sides together.
Yeah. Exactly. So what Martin is dubbing Asian shuffling is, imagine you have your deck in your hand, but you actually instead have, it's sort of like it's standing up on the bottom edge, standing up on the playmat.
And
you're like pulling pieces of it in a upward motion and then shuffling it that way. Or pulling it up and then bringing it, like you pull it up and then weave it through from behind. Like that also, sometimes people are doing that.
Through from behind.
Yeah. I know what show I'm on.
Isn't it worse to do old school, like, isn't it worse to do old school playing card shuffling on your cards? Like, I don't like when I'm like trying to, like, yeah, like, if I have a really good deck, I don't want someone to, like, just, hey,
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't have,
and they're riffle shuffling hardcore through my cards.
I don't give two fucks how you shuffle your deck as long as you're actually shuffling it correctly. Like,
yeah, I don't care. Don't fuck my deck.
But like when you put your hands on my deck, it's different.
See, I give fewer fucks about how you shuffle your deck because I'm gonna shuffle it the way I want afterwards anyway. So it doesn't even matter. So like, I understand that this grinds your gears, Martin, and that's fine. But like, this is literally a non-issue. This is a non-starter for me.
I'm gonna get labeled.
I can see it getting punched. I can see it. Like, you hand your deck over to have the dude fucking shuffle it, and you're just all, "What the fuck are you doing to my cards, man?" Just kind of like, you know, he's kind of mashing them together, not giving a shit, and you're like, "You fucking dick." So you take his fucking deck and you fucking just ripple shuffle the crap out of it. So he's just like, "Oh, really? I see how that's gonna go." So he just takes yours and throws it up in the air and then picks them all back up.
It's your cards pick up.
Yeah.
Considered random. Yeah.
It is randomizing. And I wonder where this shuffle fight's going to end.
This shuffle fight.
All right. You see now we're slowly, you know, getting to another subject. I heard this on the podcast, ban or unban, Kenji's music.
Unban. Ugh. Snap unban. Suck.
Ban hardcore.
Scotty. Small dicks are coming.
Oh man, Scotty loves that shit. I think you got, I don't know, I'm just not a fan of that stuff, I gotta say. Soft, I have no idea. It's just too poppy, man.
Yeah.
It's too poppy.
Kevy?
I have no idea what kind of music
it is. Kevy has never watched Kenji's stream. That's the problem.
Okay. Ban or unban, Cedric Phillips music.
Oh. I watched Cedric.
Oh, Kevy would like it.
The only stream I ever watch is yours, Scott.
Aw. Kenji's music's like mine.
Ooh,
well, see, that's not true, because Scotty plays more eclectic stuff.
Well, Scotty plays Barstool Saints, so, like, I mean, fuck it. He wins, right?
In all honesty, I think as long as your music suits your stream, you're fine. I would rather, in all honesty, pop music than someone's listening to death metal playing stuff because it's hard to concentrate.
Then don't watch my stream.
Hey, man, I'm just saying this. Brian Kibler, when he plays freaking Above and Beyond, I like that. I think that matches the...
Every time I watch Brian Kibler's stream, I really want ecstasy.
Honestly, I just want to do ecstasy watching Brian Kibler because, like, and his shit's amazing.
He's so dreamy. It's because
he's so hot. He's so hot.
I'm going to start making out with my screen, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, if Brian Kibler, hey, in all honesty, if there was a stream off, right, who wins?
Ooh.
There's so many parameters you need to identify for
okay,
that.
How about this?
The world, that is the only parameter.
Here it is, the stream off where every match you lose, you take a piece of clothing off.
All right.
I'll have to read the terms and conditions.
Kevy's quickly thinking, what girl streamers?
We're going to find a terrible girl magic player and just watch her.
There are so many streamer girls.
Are there?
That stream like video games, like
video
Diablo
games.
3, and like there's so many of them. It's crazy out there.
That's true.
It's creepy, actually.
It's creepy.
Actually, I'm telling you, man, the people that like lurk on those streams are scary.
Oh, yeah. Dude, they have to. They're just like stoked because they're like, oh my god, she's got a vagina and knows how to use her button fingers. This is fucking insane.
They show cleavage.
Good looking girl out there that's streaming video games. Like 48 nerds that have a fucked up shrine of that chick in their room.
Listen, no knock against MTG Finance, but a lot of the lurkers that are watching the girl streamers are doing it because it's cheaper than paying for a real stream. It's all EV, right?
I can't argue with you.
If you can kind of rub one out, it counts. You've won.
All right. We're going off tracks a bit now.
All right, Martin. Here you go. Last unban or ban. Make it a good one, man. Wow.
I was actually just halfway.
Okay, well, then let's keep going. Make them good. Scotty's not impressed by your quality of your comments.
Quick one. Ban or unban? Singing on stream.
Unban!
I will err on unban as well. It is humorous.
I got to retract that.
Great.
Unban with intent. Because fucking don't do it.
I say ban because actually there's a delay between the song and the guy singing, and it's
that's got to make
what?
Oh, is there? Oh, yeah, on some streams that aren't synced yet.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it's like bar do be 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 bar bar bar. It's pretty weird.
Okay, ban. Oh, yeah. Hard ban.
All right, next up, a little chirp at Scotty. Hashtag GP Montreal. Ban or unban? Walking.
I mean, like, I'm okay with walking, but how about ban or unban? Montreal-based directions.
How about ban or unban?
To defend myself.
Yeah.
Ban or unban? Montreal estimations.
Ban.
I don't even agree. Actually, I just want to defend myself. It's the first time out there I'm gonna actually say my version. I didn't met Ryan Cripple Command before we left for the bar, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
We were about to go, and I told Matty, it's a little walk, okay? And then we start walking, and Matty tells me, oh, we have to slow down. There's Ryan behind. I was like, who's Ryan? He's the cripple dude. What? There's a cripple dude? Fuck!
No. Oh, I love it. That's not even true. I said, how close is this place? And this is Martin verbatim was, it's a block away. And I'm like, a block away is like what? He's like, it'll take us 2 minutes. That was your word. 2 minutes.
Okay. I have to ask.
15 minutes later, the cripple guy was a mile behind us.
Was Martin drinking when said question was asked?
Martin was drinking the whole weekend.
Like, okay, so that shit goes out the window.
Shut up.
I don't know how many times somebody's been, I have said, like, baby, I'll be home in like 10 minutes. It'll be fine. And like 3 hours later, I get in trouble because I'm late.
Do you know how I know Martin's awesome? Is because I met Martin. I walked into the hotel and someone said, hey, you have free drink tickets? And I was like, no shit. I'm going to check this out. I just checked in. I walk around the corner and I see freaking Time Elemental in a bar with a guy. And I walk over and I'm like, wow, who is this guy fucking Time Elemental's chatting with? It's Martin. Boom. That's how I know.
Well, that always ups your shit. When I first started talking to this dude, he's just all, hey, man, I was in a fucking band, too. Check this out. And showed me a video on YouTube of this motherfucker playing in a band. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah, that was cool.
He instantly won my respect there. And then I was like, oh, and he's actually cool, too. He's not he's a drummer, which I've said my opinions.
Stop sidetracking unban or ban, Kevin.
I just want to say that's how actually I get people to like me. I tell Matthew stuff that we like relate to. Kevy, we can relate to music. I met Slickjacker and I say, hey, I suck cocks too. So, you know, we can relate, you know?
Unban! I unban that!
Win! Oh, fuck!
All I'm saying is, your new magic card, there's your quote. There's your quote. Human advisor makes friends with everybody.
Shit.
That was the best. Okay.
Okay, I got five more.
Okay.
This one's from GP Vegas. Ban or unban? Players with sunglasses.
Oh, ban. Okay.
What?
Well, maybe not day two because you party hard, so I don't want to look at your bloodshot zombie
eyes. Sunglasses at the table.
Unban. This is a non-issue. Unban.
Yeah. Unban. Sunglasses make you look awesome while you're playing Magic.
All right, ban or unban? Creme de menthe.
Ew. Ban.
That's gross shit. Ban.
Yeah.
I love mint and I love liquor, but those two just no.
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
It's
okay,
gross.
Great. Ban or unban? Hashtagging on Facebook.
I don't use Facebook.
I don't even know what Facebook is.
I'm gonna respectfully back out of this because I don't use Facebook anymore.
Ban, Scott, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're a man, you use Twitter. Just.
Yeah, I was gonna say like in
use
that
Facebook.
You know, like hashtags have kind of made their way around all the social media now, like Instagram and fucking Pinterest and shit like that, and I think that you should only use hashtags on Twitter. So that's how it goes.
So basically, just ban Facebook in general.
Yeah, pretty much. Yes.
I mean, I can't condone that, but I'll just
don't completely ban Facebook because, like, I had a Facebook page for a long time and it's still there, and like I've got a bunch of pictures on there that I still need to get. So don't ban Facebook yet.
Until we can download his pictures.
Until I can save those pictures.
Okay. Last one before a bonus one. Ban or unban, and I want a good discussion on that. Ban or unban? Eating on the toilet.
Unban, that's disgusting.
Wow. Wait, you're unban?
I mean ban, that's disgusting.
You're unban.
Ban, that's Freudian slip.
Jenny says unban. I fucking knew it.
Okay, it's now hold on.
That's disgusting.
Hold
that's
on, wait,
so
wait.
Disgusting.
Scott, are you saying that is a ban in any shape or way or form? Even in your condition, like any condition, you're saying.
Have you ever read the scientific facts on fecal molecules?
All I know is this.
I know exactly where you're going. I just can't help, like, laugh at the fact that I don't know how big a South Park watchers you are, but when Butters talks about how he fucking, he thinks that the back of the toilet is a little shelf to put his peanut butter sandwich on and he puts it on the toilet. Like, that's all I can think of when you ask that.
I just can't. Like, my wife is so freaky about that sort of stuff. Like, you can't even say the word fecal around her. Like, she cringes, right? Like, I'm sorry. I don't know about you, but I don't like eating poop in any way, shape, or form, whether it's like the log, a piece, a crumb, or a molecule.
So I'm then, do you like touching doorknobs?
I mean, like, I wash pretty well. Yeah. I wash the doorknobs in my house. They're all clean.
Well, not in our own. Okay, well, this is the question. In your own house, it's a perfect. It's a 50-50 shot. But, like, if you're talking a public restroom or a public anywhere, no, see, no, it's side, hard ban.
The other thing you have to consider as well is we are all men, and not all men poop neatly.
Yes, that's what I said.
Johnny, coming with the wisdom, he's got a point.
So, yeah. I mean, do you really want to take that chance?
No.
I mean, hey. To be fair, that's all good. Now, I mean, to be fair, eating ass is one thing, but we did talk about it being clean. So,
yes, that is true. That is true. There was a cleanliness clause in that eating ass thing.
There's a fine line. There's a fine line between whether you expect it to be clean or whether it actually is clean.
Can I get in a bonus one here? Because this is hard. I've thought about that. If you are going to eat ass, how, like, do you, okay, because you need to, like, Scott enlightened me because you can't go – that's not a spur of the moment. Like, you can't say, hey, you know what? This is good. I need to ask right now. No. Hold on.
This was a discussion in GP Montreal. Those of you that don't know.
Yeah, so that leads – that was a long discussion. But that leads to some some gambling and some very risky behavior. But yes. if you plan on eating that ass, you can do it safely. There's ways, and you know it takes a couple hours. It probably takes even a whole day to set up and to do correctly.
Feed whacker, like yeah.
No, dude, you. How do you even address? Say, hey, later on tonight, I want to eat your ass, but it's got to be clean. So can you go finger your ass and make sure it's clean? Because I don't want to test that during the act. That's right. A question. I don't know. Spontaneous eating of ass is a
fan. I feel like it's just a fucking I almost said crapshoot. I feel like it's just a gamble. Riverboat gambling, if you will.
It's a fucking gamble.
Yeah, because you know it pretty much loses every bit of fucking what it does if you're planning it out. Yeah. It's just one of those things. You got to trust the source, I think, is what it really comes down to.
Thank you. Absolutely. Like, I think that there is a very specific amount of trust that needs to be in your partner, and this is.
Would you share a needle with your wife versus would you share a needle with a hooker? Like,
wow, this is going deep.
Well, same question. How deep do you go? Because sometimes the surface is clean.
So the other thing is that you will know as well. The reason that the trust needs to be there is if you go in for it without preparation, trust your partner. They're probably going to give you a heads up if they'd had a chili cheese burrito for lunch. Okay?
Yeah. Hey, no.
You don't want to do that, honey. You know? Like, just stay up here. It's okay.
Yeah. I'm not saying I'm not into it. I'm just saying you're not into it right now.
Exactly. And so it's very important that two-way, that communication has to be two-way.
Exactly.
Wise words from the Council of Heavy Meta.
Yeah. You know, the Smooth Brothers have their moment of fucking smoothness. We have shit that, like, you know, these fucking life lessons that need to be told, but a lot of people don't feel like talking about.
Martin, bonus, ban or
unban?
Yeah. Ban or unban? San Diego.
It's so, we need it, but we hate it. Oh, I don't know.
Well, I mean, to be honest, like, I love the place. The place is fucking awesome.
What? Then why have you been telling it to go fuck off all these times?
Because for some reason, like, my sign-off line from, like, the first episode was just a Ron Burgundy quote, and that caught fire, and now we've been screaming shit at obscenities in San Diego since then, and I'm not above just doing it anyway, because fuck it, why not?
Hey, if you guys want to...
A pretty cool place. The fucking weather's nice. There's fucking cool shit there. It's, you know, there's assholes there too, just like everybody, you know, everywhere else. But like, it's a fucking cool place.
Look, so if we ban San Diego, it's not going to be the same. You know.
Yeah, if we ban San Diego, like when you're talking from that heavy meta SVU point of view, go fuck yourself, San Diego. If we ban San Diego, then we have no enemy anymore, and then we just cease to be fun.
Yep. I haven't been there, so I'm for unban, because I'd like to see it before I make my decision.
That's good.
Fair enough. All right, well, this, I have to say, Martin, this has been a successful...
That was very successful.
...review segment. Yeah.
Let's start the conversation on Twitter. Hashtag ban or unban.
Send me
suggestions for subject that we can debate on, and I'll make sure that... I'll send it to you guys.
So, what is your outro segment music, Martin?
Do you have another?
I have my guitar on me.
I know, so I'm asking you. Play yourself out.
I actually have one sitting right next to me too. Like we just fucking jam for a while. Fuck it.
Yeah.
It's out of shit because it's sitting in my garage.
Okay, let's just drum heavily and scream shit talking with Martin. 1, 2, 3, shit talking with
Martin! Okay.
Well done, sir. Well done. Very well done.
Oh, I love it. That's a good segment.
That wasn't bad. I would definitely invite Martin back for a second segment there. That was.
Oh yeah, and you guys get on that shit. Fucking hit up Martin with your fucking ideas for fucking banned or unbanned.
Yep. And what we want to do too is, if you're one of the members of the Heavy Meta SVU and you think you can hold your own for 20 minutes with us, by all means, hit me up with your idea. Yeah,
you can hold your own for fucking 10 minutes. Plan on it being about 30.
Yeah. Make your 10-minute segment really tight, because it'll get really loose when we hit it. But if you think you've got one, let me know, and we'll make these spontaneous, and we'll spring them on our guests, and we'll see what we can do. But moving on, we've got a few questions from the ever-expanding Twitterverse that is Twitter, because it isn't anything else. That's true. Scotty, here's a question for you. Everyone loves the Heavy Meta Tooks, or not the Heavy Meta Tooks, the A-Team Tooks. And there were a few people asking, when will we see some kind of How's My Dictate merch? Is this in the future of the A-Team?
Yeah, I don't think it's any. I mean, this is something that we've just made way too big. How can we possibly pass on it? So it's something I think you and I talked about it over beers at lunch,
yep.
And it's going to happen. There will be How's My Dictate shirts. Absolutely.
Yes, dude, I'm so fucking excited for this.
I love
Please
it.
Please let me do the art. Let me just do the art of the two gods fighting, but in paint. Just put How My Dictate on it.
I think How 18 does it. They should have a contest. So, Kevin, you're welcome to enter.
I'll do it.
Make the best How's My Dictate contest shirt.
No, and you know exactly what it's going to look like. It's going to look like those two gods in stick figure form fucking fighting. Like, it's all I know how to do.
I thought it would be one of the gods who chopped the other god's dick off and shoving it in his mouth. It's like, How's My Dictate?
It might be, but it's still going to be in shaky stick figure.
I mean, truthfully, it's probably just going to be big, bold text on the chest that says, How's My Dictate? With the fucking
Jobin on the
with
back.
With Jobin or the moose with the antlers on the back. Skull with the antlers.
Yes.
Love it.
So.
All right. Here's a question that I personally would love to ask, but I know it's a touchy subject, so I don't really go there. But Tyler asked it, so we're going to ask it. Where's episode 100?
It's on manadeprived.com right now.
Is it?
It is.
Oh, well, there you go. I didn't even know there was an episode 100.
Me neither! I listened to you guys all the goddamn time. I didn't know you guys actually released the episode 100.
Yeah, keep looking. You'll find it.
It's an Easter egg. There you go, people.
Well, Scotty's probably fucking trolling us right now. He's laughing his ass off as we get silent while we're digging through Manning and just putting blank space into our own show. And then he's going to go back on the A-TV. He's just like, I've got those idiots still looking for episode 100.
No shit. Oh, man. Well, here, Direct Damage Cass asks us, hey, I'm an MTG dad. What are the best and worst things about being an MTG dad?
Best part about being an MTG dad is teaching your kids some of the like most amazing life lessons through playing cards. So things like logic and most importantly like math and reading, yes, strategy. Like these are all really good things. The worst part is having to share your collection when they want to play.
Nice.
And when you have like tournaments and stuff and having to like share the cards can be brutal.
Yeah,
having to buy twice as much of everything is fucking terrible.
I mean, I think definitely the best thing is like, cause I got the two girls, so I try to get them to play, but they always want to play me, and it's like, well, I'm like, play each other. And they're like, no, but it's not the same, you know, cause they're still learning the level. But the best thing is when you see them, like the first time, Ella held a combat trick, I literally was, I had a tear in my eye, yeah, right? Like we're playing like ponies versus elves, and I had the death touch elf or the basilisk. And she's like, oh, and you could just see it. I play it. She's like, oh, I hate that thing. I hate that card. I'm like, you got to get rid of it. And I gave her a single combat trick in her deck, you know? And so it was hilarious to just wait. And then you know she has it because she's laughing. She's like, oh, I'm going to get it. And then you're like, attack. She's like, fine, combat trick. And you're like, yes, you did it. Like, that was awesome to see that they understood the game, but then they understood the game on top of the game.
Yeah.
Which I thought was, like, really cool. And definitely the math. Which
they're basically, like, at my level now.
Yeah, they're basically, they can beat Kevin. I mean, the most thing is the math. And I think the storytelling and the creative aspect is also really amazing. Like my kids always ask me about where the art come from, who did the art, and what's this name mean, and what is a freaking, you know, avatar and all this stuff. So it's really cool that it can lead to other learning. So I tell a lot of the young dads that are playing, and I know sometimes they get, you know, feedback from the other person in the relationship that's like, oh, that game's, don't teach our kids that game, you know? And I'm like, that's just absurd. Everything has value in it.
There's a lot of value to this game aside from it just being a fun fucking game to play. That like it teaches, especially at that age, especially at that age, you have like, you know, their minds are fucking sponges, and everything that you're teaching them through magic are skills that are going to carry over into other areas of life too. So, you know, it's like, there's no reason not to.
Yeah, and the worst
I don't get that yet because my kid is not old enough for that. So like, my best and worst is fucking, I'm gonna get to teach my kid someday to play Magic, and my worst is having to wait till he goes to bed so I can actually play Magic.
I think the funniest thing, the worst thing about me personally is Magic's great, but my kids know that I do a podcast, and they know that it's kind of inappropriate for them. But I know my eldest is just like, she's like, How do you download podcasts on the internet? And I'm like, I don't think you're ready for that. I can't tell you because I know what you're going to do. You're going to go listen to what daddy talks about, and I'm going to get in big trouble from mommy. Episode one, your daughter just listened to you throw a shopping cart at someone. moving on. So, let's see. We got James Clark Fenaris on Twitter asks, best decks for new modern players going blind into a local tournament. Add standard and legacy if you want to stretch it. Well, let's not. Let's stay to modern. What do you think is the best modern deck going blind into an environment?
Absolutely, Burn. It's a combo deck.
Mm. Really?
Absolutely. Do you have six cards and three lands? You win.
Yep. It's cheap and it's fucking easy to learn. like, I mean, there are intricacies to it, but, like, I'm not going to pretend like I'm a fucking great Magic player that, like, yeah. you know, has figured out the fucking ins and outs of fucking Burn. Like, it is what it is. Like, there are certain ways you need to play shit. The further you get into it, the more you realize there are times to hold shit and times not to. But you just fucking tap them reds and slap them in the face. Like, that's what that fucking deck does, and it's not fucking expensive at all. Yeah. Like, you know, that's the cheapest way to get into fucking Modern.
Is that everybody's style, though? Like, if you're going into Modern, Burn, wouldn't you want to play, like, an aggro, like, White Weenie sounds no. like a funner? No?
No. No. The real answer
Soul
is,
Sisters,
like,
you want to be an asshole?
You know who hit it right?
Who?
Reed Duke. And you know how Reed Duke hit it right? He wrote an article this week.
Ah.
Yep, and it went on channelfireball.com, because that's where he writes now.
Sweet. And it's how to, ever the plug master.
It's how to win at Legacy. But the lessons that he teaches are applicable to Modern as well, because Modern is an eternal format that does not rotate.
Right.
So the suggestion is buy a deck, play the fuck out of it.
Yep.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Don't play any other decks. Just play that deck.
Very good point. Yeah, I think a lot of people jump too quickly from the ship and they don't never really master the deck.
Yep.
And so they haven't really learned the interactions. Very, very good point. So
that is
play what you like and just get the practice in on the deck.
Good Another point. Thing, too, about, like, you know, especially, like, budget-wise, like, getting in, you know, the Burn thing. And Affinity is kind of the same way, too.
Sure.
You can get it, like, you know, you can get in real cheap with Affinity other than fucking... I mean, my Burn deck plays Bobs. Bobs aren't fucking cheap. And fucking Affinity plays a bunch of cheap cards and fucking the Mox.
Mox Opal. Yeah.
Mox Opal. And so, like, it's still, like, the cheap way to get in. But what I've, you know, my favorite thing about, like, playing Burn is, you know, it's not brainless completely, but you don't have to spend all your time and effort, like, thinking through your lines of play. You get to learn the format. You get to learn what other decks are doing and, like, their intricacies. You spend less fucking mental energy, like, figuring out how you're going to run through this. You can pay more attention to what the other decks in the format are doing. And it's somewhat of a stepping stone. If you're not into playing Burn or playing Affinity, like, you're like, this deck's all right. I didn't spend a ton of money on it. But, I mean, it was pricey, whatever, I've got that deck, but you can sit there and you can play games. You can play games against people and you can learn how these other decks work and you, like, the ins and outs of them. And it's a learning experience that doesn't cost you Jund money. And then you can make your decision from that. You could sit there and play against play 100 matches against a fucking Jund deck and be like, that's what I want to do. Now I'm going to start fucking spending money on that.
I mean, you ask Martin, he'd just tell you to buy Scapeshift and call it a day, but if he were still here.
I mean, the thing about Magic is it's so deep and broad that if you're in the game for life, because you really kind of are, it's just you'll have time to play everything. I think as I've become older and older at this game and I play more, it's really funny how quickly you can misjudge a new spoiler card, you know, and I think you can do the same thing with formats and decks where you're like, that's shit, or I'm not playing that, I'm not that type of player, and you're missing out because... I like trying everything. Eventually I'll get, you know, to play all the type of formats and all the decks, and that'd be kind of like learning the entire game, so.
Well, I think it's funny, like, you say the spoiler thing, and, like, you know, we all do that. Like, we all talk, that's just kind of fun. But no, it's funny, because the reason we do that, and we all are fucking guilty of it, we all can look back at fucking spoiler season, you know, from the last set or the set before, and the shit that we've said on podcast, or even if you're not on a podcast, like, you look back at the shit that you thought was going to be great and the shit you thought was going to be terrible, and look at the calls that were right, the calls that were wrong. But what it is, like, we just all inherently do that. Like, we as Magic players, we take the information that's given to us and try to come up with every different fucking scenario we possibly can. And there's going to be unseen shit. There's going to be shit that somebody else is going to come up with a deck that breaks that fucking card. And we can look at it and we can say that's terrible. But during spoiler season, we are taking all of the information that's given to us, which is like our base of what we do in this game. Take all the information given to you and try to make the best possible, decision on it. And when we're not playing a Magic game, we're looking at spoilers. That's what we do. We take the information given to us, which is what's written on the card and what is in the standard metagame, the Modern metagame, the Legacy, you know, and make our assumptions off of it, you know. But then again, just like you don't know for sure what's in your player's hand half the time, or your opponent's hand half the time, we don't know for sure what somebody else is going to do to break that card. And so we inherently just do that. And it parallels, like, Yeah, sometimes you make great decisions in a Magic game and fucking wreck shit with it. Sometimes you just make a terrible fucking misplay because you didn't read the fucking situation, right? Same shit happens with spoilers. You're just like, this card is going to be garbage and I want nothing to do with it. And then it's a fucking $70 card because it's the best thing that ever happened to fucking Modern. Yeah, that's just what we do.
Yeah. Well, this is a good lead-in. So Dylan Lurch, that's a sick name. His question is, he's like, is worrying about a legacy market crash and MTGO too doomsday-ish, and is there any room for growth? Here's the weird thing. We all know, I mean, you listen to Brainstorm Brewery, we all listen to Aaron talk about Vintage is coming to MTGO. We know Vintage Masters is coming, and there's a ton of fucking people speculating all the playable Vintage cards and Legacy cards on Moda right now. Shit is going through the roof. You can check Goldfish. Which also ties into the question about talking about 20 tickets, the contest. I can't really buy anything. There's like Standard is stagnant shit. Nothing is moving. Journey isn't really causing anything to happen. So I really haven't been able to do anything. And Legacy and Vintage cards are just too scary to touch right now. If I was like, cause I'm just trying to buy in for my collection. I'm not really trying to speculate on these cards, but they're just, who knows? If Vintage Masters comes out in the quantities that, you know, Modern Masters did, maybe nothing happens. And maybe all these guys have just jacked the price 40% and that's just the new fucking norm. I don't know. So
well, I'm starting to learn about MTG finances. There's no doomsday scenario. Like no matter how much we think the sky is falling, like it all fixes itself within like 3 weeks.
Well,
we all get back to normal.
Yeah, here's the thing about MTGO. Look at Force of Will. Force of Will has been a promo now for Moxes so many times, and it's just bought up. Same with the Dual Lands. Like, Ferret told you in episode, like, 4 to buy them. Right? They're still going up. So Vintage Masters isn't going to drop those prices very much. And if these do become supported formats, maybe in the next MTGO tournament or MTGO Pro Tour or whatever the hell they're doing there, which I assume they're gonna do, maybe there's gonna get a lot of people
Pro Tour.
Yeah, well, they've got their MTGO thing they do. I don't know what the fuck it is, but I watched the last one they did,
the Mox.
The Mox,
yeah, was it the Mox? I think it was some special event. Regardless, I'm sure they're gonna promote the crap out of this. I'm sure the Vintage Masters is also gonna be a playable tournament in the next Community Cup. So, yeah, like, there's gonna be a lot of hype. There's gonna be a lot of people that are gonna go on. And do you wanna spend $5,000 on a paper deck, or do you wanna spend, $800 on an MTGO deck? I don't know.
But that still circles back to the problem that we always have. Like, people are, you know, when you're spending that kind of money on a fucking deck so you can play competitively.
You know, in the case of Vintage, it's not even that. Like, some people will pay that online just to fucking play Vintage because other way to play it.
That's true. I'll get that. I get that. It's just the biggest problem that we have is tournaments crashing on Moto. Like, do you want to spend that kind of fucking money? I mean, even though it's a lot cheaper than doing it, and the convenience is there. Like, you can actually fucking play Vintage. You know, if it's on Moto and it's supported, you can play it because you don't have to find the one other guy in your fucking area that happens to have a Vintage deck. You know, or that's great. But then there's also a lot of people, like myself included, that would be weary of spending that kind of money on a deck to get in and start playing fucking tournaments and shit with that is going to, you know, half of them are going to fucking crash.
Well, it's interesting that you should mention crashing events.
Is this the Scotty Mac segue that I've heard so much about?
He's a master.
Interesting you should mention that because there's something happening next weekend, which is the MTGO Open Wide Beta Spotlight. And so what they're doing to try to encourage people to play is not only are they, you know, giving you an early day of pre-release,
right.
you get access to Journey Index with one day earlier, but on top of that, they're also running these free events, which I'm pretty sure if you haven't signed up for by now, you're probably not going to get into.
Yeah.
But basically, they're 100% free events with product, and I think they're Phantom events, actually, but you get this like absurd promo just for joining, and you just join in, and they give you free promos, and they literally want you to come in and break the fucking system.
Yeah.
They're functionally challenging you to come in and join and break the system so that we can make sure that it works.
Either they have been doing some shit behind the scenes to actually, like, they know what's happening. They know from, like, an outside point of view, you know, they have to say what they say as a company, but they have to know. They're like, God damn it, every time we fucking fire this thing up, it breaks down. What the fuck, man? Like, they have to know that either they've made fixes that are going to take care of this, and they actually are trying to challenge us to break the system.
Well, do you want to know what it is?
Or it's just the same goddamn thing.
No,
like,
so
I think Wizards needs to take a fucking, like, take a cue from themselves and be like, oh shit, man, every time we fire this engine up, it breaks. Maybe we should encourage people not to show up to these tournaments so we don't look as bad.
Well, okay, so here's the technical inside on this. So they do the beta spotlight because they want to shut the V3 server down. So they're moving all the server load onto the new client. So that's why they're asking you to break at this time. So this is the first time they're trying to test the load. So I hope everyone does get on, because we actually really do want to break it. Because if we can take it down, then we've proved there's a problem. If it doesn't go down, number one, we failed and not enough people went on. Or two, they fixed it.
They actually have fixed it.
It's one of those things that I don't normally, like, want to push people to it, but I hope we do crash it so that we really do get the problem solved.
No, absolutely. From a non-malicious point of view, like, actually, let's try to fucking get everybody on and crash this thing, to try to crash this thing so that, you know, if they think it's up to snuff, and then a bunch of people jump, you know, if everybody jumps on to play and it crashes, then they yet again know that their shit still doesn't work and they need to fix it. But if we can overload this thing and it still fucking holds up, then fucking sweep.
Yeah.
We've actually made a step forward in fucking the Moto beta, because the last thing we want is not a bunch of people showing up and them fucking thinking, well, hell yeah, we fixed it. It didn't crash this time. Well, that's because there's 12 people playing the fucking tournament. Yeah. You know? Like, I mean, let's actually make sure this thing can handle the load.
I hate to say this, but I mean, I know Scotty's on the closed beta. I'm on the closed beta, and mine's on the
field. I am back on the closed beta.
Mine stopped working Wednesday.
Yeah, it turns off, right? Yeah, because they turned it off. But when it's on, dude, there's like 6 people on it.
That's bad.
And I know I'm playing in the middle of the day on and off here and there, but still, like, what the fuck, man? Like,
yeah, when I finally switched to work and I was all stoked, I'm like, I didn't get kicked off the closed beta suite. It was just having fucking problems. And I got back on and I started brewing a deck and I showed it to you guys. And I was just like, man, I want to jump out and fucking play with this a little bit, see what happens. And there was nobody there.
Okay, so this is my message to Worth. You can't close beta test with like fucking 5 people. So you can't, and you can't go open, oh, we're going to put it up in our – guys, like, can you make the – don't make them all shit tournaments. Let us draft real formats that will attract more people. Like, let's do something so that we can actually have 30, 40 people on at a time. I think that will be helpful for the closed beta testing.
I think in this case, though, there was no email that got sent out. The only people that knew that the closed beta were up and running were fucking people that we told on Twitter and people that happened to log in by themselves.
Absolutely, because I always get
really no random email went out.
There was no email this time. I randomly get.
That's why I thought I got kicked, because there was no email. I get emails all the fucking time. It's like, hey, closed beta testers, yada yada yada, and I didn't get one.
Well,
and
that's
then
really bad.
Scotty tweeted something about it, and I was just like, oh shit! And I went to log in, and it wouldn't work. Like, I was just like, what the fuck's going on? So that's why I thought, like, I was like, well, I didn't get an email this month, and fucking maybe they kicked me off because I didn't go on to the closed beta through the entire Born of the Gods fucking bullshit shenanigans because I didn't want anything to do with it. And then now you guys release a good set and I want to fucking play with it, and they wouldn't let me on. And so that's why I thought I got kicked off, but it was just that, like, there was an issue with it, got fucking reset up and everything was fine, but I didn't get an email at all. And apparently they didn't send one out.
No.
Which is a great business practice, by the way.
Yeah, brilliant, guys.
But, like, one of the things, too, is, like, along with that, Maddie, like, if I'm not mistaken, they still are, like, you know, open call for, like, beta testers.
Yeah,
like,
there still are open call. I've seen the...
We need to get all you SVU motherfuckers out there.
So, Maddie, make sure you get the link to apply for the beta into the show notes this week.
Done.
Yes.
I'll put it in there for sure.
That way, and I mean, it's exactly how I ended up on there. Marcel and Maddie had been on there forever. Scotty, I don't know how long you've been on there, but Like
Scotty they were only recently.
Like
only this time around. Like within the last.
You weren't on when Theros was on there, were you?
I was not on when Theros was on.
But you were for
Born. I got about the same time as you did then, right? Yeah, Born of the Gods.
Yeah.
But yeah, like Maddie and fucking Marcel, you know, back in fucking the, you know, Ravnica block were fucking doing their thing. Mm. Always talking about it. And then there was like an open fucking, and they'd always tell me fucking, you know, this is cool. I'm like, man, I'd love to get involved in that. And then they started having a fucking call for it. Both of them hit me up and they're like, dude, they're, you know, calling out for fucking beta testers.
Yep.
Let's do this. And, you know, that's you and I got on the same time. And yet still there aren't very many on there.
Well, here's like, an open call. SVU, you listen to the fucking show. Yeah, go register, man.
Go register. Get on the fucking beta. Yeah. Because we're not supposed to talk about all the stuff that happens on the beta. But I tell you what, there's some cool shit.
It's so much faster.
Yeah, it's you're playing the advanced. You're time traveling essentially. So you're playing Moto 3 months in the future, which isn't that good, but sometimes.
Let me just tell you, you're gonna stop spending money on standard.
No, you won't. But anyways, here's a question for Scotty, and this really is something that I think all of us need to get behind. And Marcel brings it up, and he's like, you know, Scotty for community, community cup, and I gotta be honest, you know.
Hey. I made a banner for that shit like 2 years ago.
I know, right? But
I've honestly got nothing going on this year, man. Let's do it.
Okay, good. Because I think, you know, yes, it's down to KYT or you, but sorry, KYT. I know we are your wards and you look after us, but.
But no, we need KYT to focus on his fucking.
He's got to get on the pro tour.
Like, stop fucking with. He needs to fucking spend his time. I mean, yeah, fucking get on Moto, do your shit. Fucking do get your playtesting out of the way, but we need KYT on the fucking pro tour, and we need Mr. Scotty Mac representing all of us at the fucking community cup. That's how it goes.
So there you go. Heavy Meta is officially endorsing Scotty Mac for community cup.
Well, I remember that both Polish and Proxy Guy both gave me graphics to like change Twitter icons and stuff, which was insane. But if I got one of those, I would totally just put it on my stream. And then whoever wants to stream and whoever wants to put that in there, I think that's where we do it. And I think that, you know, if you guys want to support me and you're streaming, it would be amazing if you just, like, get that banner and we'll put it up on your streams. And that'd be sick.
Yeah, let's get this voted in early. I mean,
we need it.
I hate to say this. Look, I don't want to bring up old hurt feelings and shit, but fucking Smitty.
Yeah.
How was the one representative of the A team Smitty at the community?
I mean,
club?
I voted for him.
I'm just saying.
Like, he was always about Moto.
He's awesome.
Was streaming. Like, he was awesome. Yeah, he was there.
Yeah, he's an awesome guy. I give him shit.
But now this is a dawn of a new era. We need Scotty there.
Yeah, this is the new era, man.
And we need, like, Scotty, got to approach this. Like, you know, this is your political career, basically. Like, we will deal with. We'll get rid of the hookers that from the past.
Yeah, we'll take care of all the bodies.
We'll expunge your record of all the cocaine charges, and we are going to make you mayor of.
I can't confirm or deny any of these things.
And you're not supposed to. That's our job.
You're already on it. Can't confirm or deny. You don't want to get caught in a lie, but you don't want to admit to shit.
I just got to make sure as well that you know I'm well represented. You know, I understand that there might be some advocates out there that would be willing to take up a cause. You know, should we get into trouble?
Yeah. Scotty, if I were still in my fucking early 20s, I'd get fucking Scotty Mac for Community Cup tattooed on my dick.
You would not.
I probably would if I were a little more drunk than I am right now.
Sure.
And I were in my early 20s. But just to get the word out there. But nowadays, that's not going to do any good at all. Like my...
Listen,
because no one's seeing your cock except your fiance. That's hilarious.
So I don't even know. I don't even know if I dare this because there's, you know, obviously with great power comes great responsibility. But I will put this out there.
I dare you guys, one of you guys, to get Scotty Mac for Community Cup tattooed on your penis.
I guarantee you, Scotty will hook you up with some big prizes. Like, if you can do that, it doesn't even have to be your penis. It could be any part of your body.
I will fly to Canada. And personally, fight Scotty if he doesn't hook you up. If you get that tattooed on your
face. I'll tell you what. And I will make sure that that gets streamed.
How do you you not win?
It's going to be a fucking ass whooping, and I'm not trying to sound like I'm going to kick Scotty's ass at all right now. I'm going to fly to Canada. I'm going to, on my own dime, fly to Canada and get my ass kicked by the fucking lean machine Scotty Mac, just so that one of you guys gets his name tattooed on your penis to support.
I literally can't possibly see how I lose here. Like, this is...
it's just a win-win.
Like, I just keep winning. All I do all day is win.
Oh, I win all day.
All right, so JR asks a very good question, and I'm curious to know the answer as well. He's like, Atheros Modern Brewing updates? What's going on, boys? I heard there was some brewing going on.
We answered that on Twitter. Yeah, I had this great fucking idea, and I know I talked about it on the cast, like fucking Atheros and fucking, yeah, all this. And then they spoiled Deicide. Yeah. And both Scotty and I were just
no
all...
No one's going to ever play that modern, would they?
No. The problem was, I couldn't make the deck good enough and still have game against everything else. Like, that's the problem with modern, right? Like, it's a turn three, turn four format.
It really, like, we both had, like, different ideas towards it and tried going different directions, and it just wasn't quite there. Like, it's one of those decks that's, like, it reminds me of, like, fucking, when I got all excited about, like, the Murder Pod deck. Like, I was just all Tiramet the Murder King and the old fucking, you know, zombie machine gun fucking shell. This is going to be fucking awesome. And then it's like, yeah, that's great in theory and all. Like, if you're goldfish in the deck, it seems fucking neat. But when you actually have to play against somebody else, when you have to play against Splinter Twin, you know, what do you do?
Yeah.
and so that was kind of the problem with it. And then me, of course, it was also just a bit, like, as soon as Deicide got fucking spoiled, I was all, oh, man, that just puts a fucking finger in my butt. I don't even want to fucking deal with this anymore.
Like, up to the knuckle, no less.
Yeah, like, way up to that. Because, I mean, even if, like, me and Scotty stumbled on some amazing fucking tech, like, everybody would be like, all right, we'll just run 4 Deicides and sideboard. And that's it. Like,
then up your garbage. Plan.
Yeah. So I stopped giving a fuck about that, and I went to this fucking, like, it's funny, that deck that I showed you guys that I was fucking dicking around with. What's funny is I decided, I was like, I want to play with the sheep, and I want to play with the fucking Eidolon, and I want to play with the fucking, the spirit. I want to fucking hang out behind my fucking sheep and not have to do shit and gain life because it's got a fucking 5 for a butt. And I want you to only play fucking one card or one spell per turn, or everybody play one spell per turn. And I also want to limit, what was the other one? Fucking, spells and, well, God damn it. Now I'm confused because I'm not looking at the deck or the cards. Spirit of the Labyrinth does what now?
Spirit of the Labyrinth prevents anyone from drawing more than one card.
Oh, yeah. So you don't get to play a spell or more than one spell per turn, and you also don't get to draw more than one.
You can play as many spells as you like.
No. Well, with the Eidolon.
Oh, with the Eidolon.
Those three cards, I just want to sit in my fucking white fort and not do shit and while, like, Assemble the Legion just builds, like, a ridiculous fucking army. And so this was my whole plan. And then I started kind of filling it in with white cards because for some reason I needed to fucking be mono white. And then everybody's just all, dude, no, like, Maddie's just all, man, you need some hoplites and some heroic spells and shit like that. I was like, no, but that's not what I want to do. And then
I don't want to win the game. I just want to sit in a fort.
This is all aggro and shit. And I was like, no, I don't want to be aggro. And I realized that, like, everybody's, you know, input into that deck was like, you know, you need more of this, you need more of this, you need more of that. And I was like, but you guys are missing the point. The reason I started this deck is because I just want to sit in my fort until my army gets huge and cast Elspeth and Ultimater and fucking just
the best.
Go.
If you want to do that, do you remember that blue-white Heliod deck?
I feel like as much as I don't want to do it, I'm going to have to fucking get into blue with this deck. It's going to have to be.
You have to play Supreme Verdict and Detention Sphere if you're even going to attempt it. And you play Sphere of Safety. The best – I had a deck, the blue-white enchantment deck that I was playing with Heliod. It was great because you literally just play a ton of enchantments. You throw Sphere of Safety in there, and it's like if you can get to late game, that's the trick. If you can survive to late game, you usually –
Well, that's and that's what I think that you can do with fucking – like, especially, okay, you know, on top of fucking the, like, you can't – or, you know – we can't fucking draw more than fucking one card. We can't play more than one spell. I'm sitting here behind my fucking sheep arm, or my, like, wall of sheep.
Well, the sheep. You know what's funny? You don't even need all those other cards. The sheep. The real problem with that deck is it would die on turn four sometimes to the aggressive strategies, but playing the sheep changes everything. Not only is it an enchantment, which counts towards a ton of the enchantment bonus effects, but it's a fucking wall and it's gaining you one life. I think you could absolutely build a white pillow fort deck in standard. Sure. I think you can do it now.
But I feel like you need to get into some blue.
White blue for sure.
You got to really get into some blue, which I was trying to avoid because you know how I feel about blue cards. It's got to go that direction. Like if you're gonna do it, in standard, you have to get into some blue. And I think it's possible, but like it's really just where your end game is. And like this was another thing was like as I started fucking brewing that deck, I have no fucking experience in this field at all. I was like, this seems like a fucking fun idea, but I have no, I literally was just all, what white cards are good in standard? Cause I haven't paid attention to standard in months. And on top of it, I don't play white and I don't play control. Like the last white deck I played was the fucking super crazy aggro humans fucking white deck with Entreat the Angels, Scotty.
Sure. I recall distinctly.
I don't play that way, but I was like, I want to think outside the box. But one of the things I learned is if you're going to fucking post your ideas on Twitter and ask people's opinion, you should probably ask like a few people because when I posted the fucking picture of that deck on Twitter, I'm like, hey, what do you guys think? Give me some thoughts. And then I just had shit flooding in from fucking every different direction. It's like, no, this thing needs to have all one drops and add some red and some black and somebody else.
Green and blue.
You need a bunch of green and blue and Kiora. And it's like everybody focused on one card in the deck and just built their own deck and then told me that's what I should do. And I was like, no, you were getting the point. I think Scotty was one of the very few that I was just all, hey man, what do you think? And he's just all, hey, it's interesting. You're like, I'd lose this, I don't know about this, but it's interesting. Like, that's that. But everybody else was just like, man, what if we got rid of 48 of those cards?
What if we got rid of?
Yeah. What if we got rid of everything except for the cards that you threw in as a filler? and we went off of that. And I was like, oh, man, this is why Twitter deck brewing sucks sometimes. Yeah.
All right. Well, our last question this evening I'm going to throw to the real evil genius himself. And he asked Scotty a few questions, but I think one that we're going to focus in on is expanding the legit MTG streaming family, which – I will be honest, I think one of the best streams out there is Scotty's, and I know Real Evil Genius has started one up too. Yep. So, what is going on there? And my question would be, why is it legit not Mana Deprived?
Throw you on
the hot seat.
Business is business.
Because KYT is cheap and he won't pay. No.
Business is business, and I mean, KYT has discussed, that sort of stuff with me in the past, but I mean, I really like, what I've got going on over at Legit. I'm treated really well by those guys and I feel like, I'm not in any hurry to move anywhere. They've been very good to me and continue to be so. So, I'm happy to be there. As far as the brand expansion goes, I've been very protective about the stream brand and the channel, for quite some time and was very apprehensive about sort of like letting people onto that, sharing it. And even, back when Medina had it, I was like,
don't stream Medina.
And it wasn't him, but it was just like he has some other people. And I was like,
it's mine, get back.
Yeah. And I was very protective because I was kind of like trying to develop that. But, now I'm kind of at the point where I feel like I've established myself a little bit. We've got a bit of a following and that's great. And, that's nice. I go to random events and people are like, oh yeah, I watch your stream. And I'm like, great. What's your Twitch name? They're like, no, I don't sign in. I just lurk. And I'm like, oh, okay. But, Jason approached me and I've been sort of online testing with Jason, for the better part of almost 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And almost a full calendar year. Let's go there.
Yeah.
And so I have a lot of faith in sort of his, his gameplay. He's been on my stream a few times. You know, he's always, you know, in there chatting it up. And so I knew that he'd be a good fit, you know, and he and I would be able to play off each other fairly well because our deck choices are sometimes similar, but sometimes they're, you know, he prefers more control oriented and, you know, and he's got a lot of, eternal format experience too, which is something that I don't have. So, you know, he'll be inevitably looking at streaming things like Legacy, and it just kind of like,
right.
It allows us to cater to, you know, a wider array of the audience. And then it also, in execution, it puts the stream channel, into a higher exposure bracket because it's airing on more evenings.
Yep. Right. Yeah, it's not just Scotty showing up and doing his thing once a week. Like, you actually get, you know, it out there more often because, you know, maybe there's people that, you know, like you and Jason, you know, they want to come see you guys stream, but, like, you know, maybe can't be there on Monday night.
Yeah.
You know, maybe got shit going on.
Yeah. And so there's one more as well that we're looking at, too. Once that sort of, like, gets confirmed, it's probably Wednesday. So we'll get that announced once that hits. But yeah, so it looks like you may be able to get your fill of the Legit Boys 3 days a week.
That would be awesome. You got to get one every day a week.
I mean, we can work towards it. It's just it's tough to beat. Like, Fridays is just a terrible fucking day to stream.
Yeah,
and, right. Like, Saturday weekends are probably okay, but, like, if your name's not Brian Kibler, it's kind of tough to draw on Saturdays.
Yeah, no shit.
So.
Very true.
It's a lot easier to draw on weekends for stream when there's big tournaments that are happening. Like, back when there were Moxes and PTQs and all that sort of shit, people would stream all the time and they'd get pretty high numbers. It's just like it's a different level.
We also don't want to dilute it either. You know, you don't want to be like, oh, okay, well, you know, we got Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and we want to have 5 days a week. So now, like, I mean, great if you've got five different personalities.
Agree.
Which is huge in streaming. Like, if you've got five different personalities that happen to be able to have those different nights of the week to be able to stream, great. But, like, you start finding yourself, like, you're already, you know, it's great that you have, you know, you and Jason, and then to find a third that actually fits that bill and you know, is entertaining enough, like, to find two more that are available on those nights to go, like, Monday through Friday, for instance, you know, you start to, unless you get lucky, you start to kind of dilute the talent pool.
Agree. No, I agree completely. So, yeah, it's good. I'm pretty excited. We're happy to do it. His stream's been going really well. You know, Maddie was gracious enough to do some artwork for him, and it fucking is absurd. I'm, like, beside myself with how crazy ass good that fucking artwork is.
Maddie's, hey man, you gotta keep really the look the same.
Jesus, it's so good with the blue and the Jace. Good lord, you're a genius.
Yeah, it's Jace. There's not much you can fucking fuck up there, man.
Hey, you can't fuck it up with Jace.
I'm like, what, do you want to put red cards on here? He's like, nah, I was thinking blue. I'm like, I know, it was a joke.
Yeah, but no, it's so that's where we're at with the stream. Things are good.
Yeah, sweet. So I'd heard that, obviously, I mean, it's probably the news is already broken by now. I know KYT was talking about it, and I'm sure Jay has already also mentioned it many times that he's potentially thinking about relocating somewhere in the lower 48 states, and that you were also of the mind that there was a city that you were probably going to locate to as well.
Sorry, what?
Didn't you?
Oh, wait, who?
Sorry, I didn't mean to spring it on you, but so Jay is thinking about moving to a city in the states, but he hasn't picked one yet. And KYT was also thinking of, like, it's time to just move Mana Deprived to an American base.
Instead of being like your home for Canadian magic.
Yeah, it would be like American magic.
Your home for, like, your whale's vagina magic.
But, I mean, there's only one city that you would ever put a show that decrepit in.
Well, it's Chicago, right?
It is. Yeah. Well, the Proxy guy would love that.
Or, like, no, I'm sorry. It's got to be Cincinnati. Like, it's like the central magic point, right? Like, that's
Mm-hmm. I think you could put it in Cincinnati, but yeah. Cincinnati's, I mean, they got donuts there. It's kind of a good city.
They got donuts there.
Like, I mean, if you like donuts, I mean, you could definitely hold it in Portland, you know, because they got voodoo donuts there, right?
Uh-huh.
Voodoo donuts is where it's at.
But piss off Portland doesn't sound good.
Piss off Portland. That might need to be, like, depending, after August, that might be the new sign-off line. Let's be honest. This one's been growing old for a while.
Oh, I'm sorry. Have I, like, totally derailed your attempts to end your show?
No.
Oh, Scotty. Oh, sweetheart, you have not begun to understand the attempts to derail Maddie from ending the show. I appreciate your effort, but I mean, fuck, dude, it's 8 o'clock where I'm at. We got a good hour and a half worth of derailing, Maddie.
Oh, okay.
There's only the first outro, folks. Then there's the second outro. Sometimes there's a third.
But hey, why don't we just get Martin to fucking unmute his mic because he's been creepy lurking this whole fucking time? Make him do
it. Speaking of the stream lurkers, man.
Look at my fucking screen. I just see Martin's beady little eyes fucking peeking.
It's like Woody Allen who's like looking at me with a fucking pair of Dr. Dre headphones on. And I can see like a headboard. It looks like he's in his bed and he's just peeking out over the headboard.
He's masturbating right now as he's looking at it. Because you can see the top of his headboard.
And the truth is, that's why it's only his eyes. It's so that we can't see him masturbate.
And he's got like that gleam of sweat on his forehead that he's like really...
These blocks on here, these are our pictures. His is actually video and he hasn't moved this whole... I've actually bob up and down a couple of times. I think he had to shift position a little bit. That's about it. Like, I think he came like 3 times through this whole fucking ordeal.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego!
Yeah! Now do it in French!
Why does it sound like you're yelling out your balcony?
He's way back from the mic and just like,
no, actually I was yelling through the scutowel tube. You know, it's my masturbation towel tissue, tube, right?
Oh, the paper towel.
You were just saying I was masturbating, so I had to use
just this. Screaming into a fleshlight.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute now. In all honesty, the ban or unban, aren't those paper towel rolls, like, isn't that a homemade masturbation kind of device, right?
Yeah, you just...
Because I heard... Now, tell me if I'm wrong.
Just throw the mic.
No. Tell me if I'm wrong, Martin, but can't you stick Jell-O inside it, freeze it, and then use it as a mold?
Oh man, that'd be great. I don't know. I'm sure you can put poutine in. That's for sure.
It really matters, right?
You can beer pong poutine.
But now you never put ketchup on poutine, right? Because that's you just don't do that.
Oh my god,
I'm American. I love ketchup, but that is sacrilege.
Yes, exactly. Why waste a sanctified meal?
Exactly.
With ketchup. I mean, what the fuck is wrong with you? And half of people in Quebec do that. It's impossible.
Oh, dude, are you serious? Like, people that know better do that shit? Like,
yeah, they're like, I'm gonna put ketchup on it.
Fucking redneck ass Kentucky motherfucker just being all, I'm gonna put ketchup on this shit and make it American. But
I'd rather get, like my balls, you know, I'd rather, like, chafe my balls with, like, sandpaper than eating poutine with ketchup.
Yeah, that's gross.
That's a very specific thing, Martin.
Actually,
seems like it happened.
But I remember, like, when you guys fucking, when we sat around here talking with Frankie before that last GP, before Toronto, we're sitting around talking with Frankie after the cast, like we're doing now, and fucking, actually way after, like long after Maddie stopped recording, I think. And Frankie was talking about poutine and he posted up a picture off a fucking menu. And then I literally left the fucking conversation and I was like, God damn it, that looks so good. I don't know how I can deal with this. And I went to fucking the grocery store and I got, you know, French fries and fucking gravy. And fucking sausage and cheese. And I was just like, I don't know what cheese curds are, but...
You can't find the cheese in this thing.
I just made I made this shit up. Fucking French fries, gravy, sausage. And then I just saw, well, there's cheese on it. Fuck it. So I started just fucking cutting off chunks of cheese and throwing it on the top of it. And I was like, I think this is poutine. So at least maybe. And everybody's like, nah, it's not the same. But I'm like, whatever, I don't give a shit. This is good as fuck right now.
Here's what I give to you, you could do. The issue is that the cheese is going to melt. Here, the cheese doesn't melt, right?
Yes.
So basically what you do, you add like a block of cheese on your fork when you're about to eat your bite, right? One after the other. Then I guess you'll get the closest to poutine, I guess. But
you got
to
get that squeezy kind of rubbery.
The squeak squeak. It's actually how we call it, too.
Yeah. It's so good. I mean, the poutine I had there was crazy. I miss it. I want to go back.
Well, you know what to do.
You know what to do. Oh man! No, you
know, a bunch of pictures on Twitter. I tweet poutine picture quite often, so you can check on my Twitter.
Nice food porn from Martin from Quebec.
Well, it's not David Ochoa, but it's
his food porn is literal porn.
It's just actual porn. Yeah.
So, by the way,
yes.
So here's what I'm looking for: sour beer.
Yes.
Like
I was just at the beer store and I saw some. What do you want?
What? Are you serious?
Yeah. They got a whole section called sour beers and bitters.
Sour ass motherfuckers.
Okay. What do you want? I don't know. I've never tried sour beer and apparently it's amazing.
Oh, I haven't either. I was going to buy one, but I was like, nah, fuck it.
Is it fruit flavored?
I have no idea. I've never had one.
You're talking like sour Skittles beer or you're talking like sour mash type beer? Like, There's a big difference between you're talking like sour-ish on shit or like sour mash, like whiskey type, like sour fucking taste or like just fruity with when it's tangy too. Like, is that what sour, what are you talking about as far as sour beer goes?
We needed Michael Motika here to fucking tell us. Yeah, none of us know
it's
shit.
It's got an intentionally acidic and tart sour taste.
Right. So you're not talking like some sour ass, like cider type shit.
Nope,
you're like talking like beer. A sour beer.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
No, it sounds good. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I'm also not a huge beer fan, so.
That's a problem.
There's that.
Most of them are Belgian.
Mm.
I just blame fucking Slick Jagger in Vegas. I never would drink beer before that, and then I met him, and now I fucking drink too much beer.
Sending you assholes a photo. This is Proxy Guy's first take on the fucking DCI card.
Oh, why don't you tell the folks at home what your idea is?
No!
No! Okay.
All right. So I have this idea. Because my fucking DCI card looks like fucking ferret tried to eat it. And I've only had my DCI card for like fucking 2 years or something. And I'm sure most of you guys have had yours longer than that or had yours before that. And then the shit is just long disappeared. And now I know nowadays you just need your DCI number. You don't need a card, but I'm having Proxy Guy do up like a fucking model for us to have SVU DCI cards.
Well, that's pretty good. Does the QR code actually work?
I don't know. I haven't got that far yet. In the middle of casting, got this shit from the Proxy Guy.
He just makes up a QR code that doesn't even work.
Like when you fucking scan the QR code, it's going to be a picture of my dick, like, which is even better.
That's quite a good troll.
Which would be awesome. but yes, like my thought was this. I was like, you know what? Like, you know, with this SVU thing in the community and everybody, like, my DCI card sucks. It looks like shit. It looks like it got chewed up. And even before it looks like it got chewed up, it just looks like shit because it's a DCI card. And so I was like, I was asking everybody on Twitter, I was like, you know, does it matter? Because I haven't played a lot of paper events. Like, does it really matter if, like, somebody could get mad if I try to hand them a DCI card that's got my DCI number on it, but it doesn't, it's not an actual DCI card. And everybody's like, no, it doesn't matter. I was like, oh, got an idea. So we're doing fucking like a downloadable version of like a DCI card, but it looks a lot cooler. And it also kind of just doubles as your fucking SVU membership card. You know, we've always said like, you don't have to do shit to be in the SVU except for be like, hey, SVU, this is how we do shit. But this is your little bit of fucking, you know, a lot of you guys have shirts and stuff like that, but this thing, you fucking download it, you fucking put your name in, PCI number, and then you can. I know I'm gonna fucking put my shit in, laminate that bitch, put it in my fucking wallet, and it's gonna fucking be there forever. And this is your fucking secret. It, like we were talking about earlier, that you pop up the hood and be like, you know, in distress, and then fucking all the SBU members in the room fucking come over and stand behind your fucking opponent. Now we would actually have identification saying like, you know, we're gonna take this guy out of the room and beat the shit out of gutter. But no, it's okay. Look at, I've got credentials. And so like this is your SVU credentials, and it's a way to have a fucking DCI card in your fucking wallet that doesn't look like a shitty ass 90s fucking piece of paper.
It's a passport to awesomeness.
Yes, it's a passport to awesome. So we're fucking with this idea right now. Proxy guy is doing his shit. He's doing his fucking magic on it. And so we'll be releasing this soon. So then I'm going to expect all of you motherfuckers to have one.
Sweet.
And I don't mean all of you motherfuckers, like the fucking three people I'm talking to right now. I mean, all
yes,
of you motherfuckers.
Master. We shall.
All of you motherfuckers out there in podcast land.
I'd like to have a fake one. A fake one that's just the number. The number would just be one. So you can just intimidate people. It's like, yeah, I've been around.
You know,
my DCI number is one.
Stia is still in its inception, and Martin is trying to figure out how to make fake IDs. Like, fake heavy metal DCI card IDs.
0000001. Not Garfield. Not Mero. Me. I was the first one.
I was the first one here. Y'all can suck a dick.
I sucked a lot of dicks to get this.
I sucked a lot of dicks to get this number.
So, Scotty, yeah. What is the best karaoke song ever?
Hey, I tweeted you earlier. I mean,
okay, how about this? For the people out there, what's the best karaoke song for a newbie? Not a pro like you. A new guy.
I karaoke quite often. I could help you out.
Band or unband, Martin?
Fucking. Okay. Songs I like to play, sing at karaoke. There's one that's actually, the lyrics are really simple, and it's I'm Sexy and I Know It from LMFAO. Honestly. Honestly.
That's playing Red Deck Wins right there.
No shit.
So one of the,
or maybe you could sing like, I don't know, like a long song to just like a prog rock song, so basically nobody gets to play to sing.
Yeah, no, that's not courteous. So a good one if you are just like okay and you want to try to be like a crowd pleaser but not offensive and you don't want, you know. Anyways, Brown Eyed Girl is always a good one.
Right.
Blister in the Sun.
Blister in the Sun, like Violent Femmes.
Oh yes, Violent Femmes. Mm-hmm.
You know what? I would do "Steal My Sunshine" by Len.
Sure.
You only got to know a couple of words, man. Everyone will love that song.
It could be. I want to watch Maddie like sing the chorus of that song. Like, I want to see Maddie's high notes, and I want to see the fucking expressions he makes. He's all, "It's Steal My Sunshine."
Born to be Wild is always a good one.
That's a good one too, yeah.
Hey, I was getting at this earlier. I don't know if you, Maddie got it. I don't know if you got my fucking tweet, Scott, but I was expecting you to be prepared to sing a Rick Astley song.
Who said I didn't see that and I wasn't ready for it?
Oh shit!
I mean, like...
I've almost got a boner right now. If you pull this off,
all right,
I will fucking full mast.
If you've got a plan in your headphones... You can drop it on us right now.
Okay, well, hold on. Let me just make sure that I've got the lyrics up. All
right, make sure you got it.
Oh, my God. And
Martin, get your Lubriderm ready.
I spent most of my fucking childhood and even my younger fucking years of my adult life thinking that that voice came out of a large black man like Barry White. And when you see the video and you realize it's a fucking tiny little ginger kid,
it's like ginger Italian singing that.
Strange to love. You know the rules. I've built commitments. I think you can. You wouldn't get this far.
Scotty, I don't know if you just like. I think Scotty just started just walking away from his microphone. He's like, I'm just fucking singing this shit.
Oh my god, I didn't want to see
anything. Oh, it was so good. It was so good.
It was good.
Just started going away and fading. I'm like, well,
sorry if that faded, guys. I fucking it was
right there too. You were getting at it, and then all of a sudden you started getting further and further, and then like it was just barely there, and like all of a sudden you see all three pencils run across the fucking screen. Like, what the fuck happened to Scotty?
It said ban.
Yeah, you guys said.
I was lying on the grass of Sunday morning of last week, indulging in my self-defeat. My mind was thought dull, laced and bugged, all twisted wrong beat. Uncomfortable on 3 feet deep. Now the fuzzy stare from not being there, the confusing morning week. You would have done. So I missed a million miles of fun. I know it's up for me.
If you still must have
making sure I'm not in too deep.
If you still must have
keep me first and on my feet.
If you still must have time. Across the street, LATER that week. My sticky paws were in the making straws at a big fat slippy tree.